You're the one that's all lockstep with Fox News.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, March 16th, 2023. This is your award-winning Give One Nation Media Assassination, episode 1538.
This is No Agenda.
Sniffing the Swiss cheese and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region number 6. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I'm still counting the SVB jokes in the Oscars, can't find one yet. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Craig Bottom Buckhill.
All right, you win $1, but you don't just win $1. You win $2. $2.
Oh God!
Because I was wrong on everything the last show. Everything.
What was the other one?
Besides there not being a single Silicon Valley bank joke in the Oscars, besides that,
oh God!
I have 50, count them, 50 detailed emails of No Agenda producers under the age of 40 who are very familiar with Hogan's Heroes.
Well, you are too.
Well, I was wrong, though.
You're not under 40, sorry.
No, but I... Neither are you. Neither are you. I want to thank. Now, I do suspect there was some rigging going on.
Not by me.
No, not by you. And the reason why is a lot of people said this same line. I'm in the same boat at like maybe 10 of the 50. And I went back and looked at the transcript. You never mentioned boat at all. So I'm wondering if there could have been some spiking by the Hogan's Heroes fan club.
Which massive Hogan's Hero fan base.
You may be, I'm thinking now that there actually may be a massive Hogan's Heroes fan base. I was surprised. Now, a lot of the producers who wrote in, they had grown up with Hogan's Heroes, dad or brother, older brother may have been watching. But, I mean, we had, here's one, I'll just pick one or two out here. I liked how this one started. Hey, hello, Mr. Producer Man. I don't know why that sounds funny. My name is Brian. I'm from Liberty Lake, Washington. In your last two episodes, you talked about Hogan's Heroes. I'm 23 and have seen the show being rerun on MeTV, which is exactly what you said, John. Then he goes on, what you guys have failed to mention about Hogan's Heroes is how they showed swastikas and had people go on Heil Hitler on national television, yet everyone knew it was a joke. You could not get away with such a show like that today. Well, wait a minute. Isn't it on unedited?
Yeah.
Oh, we should have this show canceled. They're a bunch of Nazis. I'm telling you. We should
the
have
show was when I remember when the show came out, it was very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Bing Crosby who pushed, and with Desi Lu. Those are the two
really
people behind it.
Desi Lu, Lucio Ball, Desi Arnaz, they were behind Hogan's Heroes? Really?
Yeah. That meant BC and Bing Crosby Productions. Huh. And Bing Crosby didn't do that many things, but they're always winners. And so they teamed up with Desi Lu and they did this show. And it was a hit right off the bat because it was
funny. It was fun.
High mockery.
It was fun. Now, when did this start? In the 50s or 60s?
I think 65.
It shows me something else. First of all, there's a lot of people who I think are watching free-to-air TV, which is very good. I encourage that. I think we have a lot of cord cutters, and that the cord cutters are bored and searching for something, and then they find Hogan's Heroes, and something is attractive about it. Because probably, in general, we just like Nazis. It's kind of fun. But also, we're in the second generation of this show. I mean, if you take into account 7 years as kind of a cycle, we're now 15 years. We've dragged a whole new generation into this nonsense, which I'm pretty proud of. We've got 20-year-olds listening to the show, and they're hip to the heroes. I mean,
oh God!
Thank you, Fletcher. It's really cool. I've
come to the conclusion that you don't get OTA.
No, I don't. And just as this was coming in over the past couple of days in between shows, I started to look up OTA sets because I think I should get on the bandwagon. This is where
you have an OTA set.
Well, it's built into the television, but I want to get one that like one of those new ones, the OTA 3 that has this new. No, they have the new, 28K, whatever's going. They've got something going on with it.
There's no, there's, don't bother, but okay.
Yeah, but okay, Kara, fine. Yeah, it's fine. All right.
There is a new standard that's floating around that nobody has used. They're not even broadcasting in 4K yet, unless you're, you know, streaming.
Right.
Fox will be the first to do 4K over the air.
And I think that this actually will be interactive, that you, for somehow, what I've been reading, you can stream over the air. You will be able to do things on demand somehow. I'm not sure exactly how it works. Have you looked into this?
I wouldn't get my hopes up.
Okay. Believe me, I'm not basing my happiness on OTA streaming.
Get a cheap antenna, a good antenna.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I don't know where your
my stations are. San Antonio probably. Oh, maybe Kerrville. I can get Kerrville.
Are they all in the same direction? You're going to have to get an antenna with a motor on it, or you're going to have to get
a motor? You mean a rotator?
You're going to have to get, well, I don't know how you're going
to. Hold on, baby. I'm tuning into Hogan's Heroes. Let me just tune the antenna to the southwest. Hold on. Don't move. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a real short picture of that. No. Hey, big news in the Netherlands that I need to deconstruct right away. Because I started getting messages about this the 15th yesterday. The Dutch had their provincial elections, which is kind of like electing the Senate for the U.S., you know, for the higher house. Although it really is more like the House of Representatives, but it doesn't matter. It's part of the government. Massive win out of almost nothing. A party that started in 2019, which is interesting, before COVID, before these big protests by the farmers, the Boer Burger Beweging, the Farmer Citizen Movement, direct translation, scores huge numbers in this election. Now, it's a parliamentary system, so there's no real winners, but they could be up to 35, it was like 33, which is always a nice little number to look out for, could even be as big as 39% of all the votes in really outside of the cities. And people, and I had missed this too, people are going like, wow, this is great, the farmers, they finally, people, you know, were silenced, but then they voted for the farmers. And yeah, no, this is the biggest scam the Dutch have ever been submitted to. This Boer Burger Beweging, the three B's, which we'll get back to, is actually a huge shill. This party was started by some lady, you know, just doesn't really matter even, but was assisted by two gentlemen who are now in this party and who are celebrating the win with her. There's the three of them side by side. And as it turns out, these guys come from Remarkable Communications. This is the marketing communications company they started together. One guy's name is Wim Groot Koerkamp. And the other guy's name is, forget his name. What is his name? I think Martijn Voortman. Yeah. And if you look at who they have provided marketing communications for, it's for the entire big ag and food sector, right down to Bayer, Monsanto. These guys embrace getting rid of the farmers. But because they marketed it so well as the farmer citizen movement, everybody fell for it. And now...
Are you sure that yes. They're not just guilt-ridden?
Nope. Nope, these guys, the marketing communications guys, have been in business for quite a while. You can go look at their website, Remarkable. What is it? I think is it literally remarkable.nl? Yes, remarkable.nl. And you can see, I'm just looking at client list, klanten. Oh, man, it is like the biggest biotech, GMOs. I love that they just put Bayer on there. And then they have some non-agricultural clients, which is, it's all big pharma, big ag, bio. It's disgusting. And the Dutch people just fell for it through marketing. And please take note of the BBB that their name is. They are the BBB party.
explain?
It's so interesting that you didn't catch it either, because it took me until Aunt Scylla actually had to tell me.
Build back better than down on bended knee.
They actually have signs that say BB better or BB better. So they are the BBB party, and they have signs that say BB better. I mean, this is the Build Back Better team. It's unbelievable. And the worst part is, you know, people everywhere are like, oh, it's so great, the Dutch, man. The farmers did it. And they got people to vote for them. No. So it's a very sad day. And they've got power now. I don't even know how long they'll be in the parliament. They probably won't be in the majority. But it just shows you what a little bit of marketing can do with a population that has been beaten to death with propaganda and bullcrap. Beaten to death with it.
And that's different than us, how?
Not at all. So this is to be, stay alert. Be on the lookout for scams like this. You know, like, I don't know, maybe Ron DeSantis. I'm not sure. I'm literally not sure. But there was a very cool, a couple of interviews from Robert Kennedy Jr., who has been doing the rounds, because as we know, he's considering his run for president, which you can't actually say until you're going to do it, because somehow the financing changes. And he had some really good comments on the swamp. And I want to play them out of order, actually. The first one is literally about propaganda. Because when we've been doing this show for 15 years, in 2000, I think it was 14 or 16, maybe 14. No, it must have been, no, it might have been earlier than that. 2012. When was the Smith-Mundt Act overturned, which we followed? Was that 12?
That was pretty early on.
2012, probably, I'm thinking. Smith-Mundt, just as a reminder, was start after the Church Commission hearings, where we found out that the CIA had reporters and people inside news organizations literally propagandizing the American people. So we couldn't have that. And Smith-Mundt, they created a bill, and that was passed, and that said, okay, you can always propagandize the Voice of America. You can do it to other countries, you know, broadcast your signal into Russia, into East Bloc countries, whatever, but you can't do that to your own people. Like they actually expected the CIA to adhere to it, but at least it was a law and it was put into practice. And then during the Obama administration, it was kind of slipped into one of those huge National Defense Authorization Act bills, which are hundreds of billions of dollars, up to almost $900 billion these days. And that overturned Smith-Mundt. And the reason why is the government, probably military intelligence and central intelligence, said, well, with the internet, you know, we're putting propaganda out, and, you know, Americans might see it because it's the internet after all. So you have to, we can't be breaking the law, so you've got to overturn the law, and voila, they did.
And it's a good bit.
And Kennedy refers to this and dives a little bit deeper.
The CIA was involved in coup d'etats or attempted coup d'etats between 1947 and 1997 against a third of the nations on earth, and most of them were democracies. And so the CIA does not do public health. It does coup d'etats. That's what they specialize in. And they had, during that period of MK Ultra, they were paying social scientists to devise ways of social control. And some of those were individual. They were using psychedelic drugs like LSD. They were using sensory deprivation, torture techniques, and then, you know, fear and propaganda and authoritarian messages, etc. And experimenting with all these things to figure out what worked. Well, in beginning around 2016, you know, with the election of Trump and with Brexit, it seems like at that point the intelligence agencies made a decision to turn all of those weapons onto the American people. And we saw this extraordinary propaganda campaign at the beginning of the pandemic, and that to the extent that people just say, oh, well, you know, the CIA wouldn't do that to America. It's illegal to propagandize America. It isn't anymore. During the Bush, during the Obama administration, that law was essentially that old law that had forbidden was overrided, and it was also overwritten in the Patriot Act in 2001 during the Bush administration. The CIA has gained all of these increasing powers to propagandize American people and to use these techniques on Americans. And more we're seeing, you know, the control of the press in our country, the old resurrection of Operation Mockingbird. When Operation Mockingbird, which is the operation where they controlled hundreds and hundreds of reporters and editors of the most important papers in our country, it was uncovered in 1973, and the CIA kind of said, okay, we won't do it anymore in the United States, but they've been doing it abroad. And there's no, again, that's not controversial. The CIA admits it. They fund these programs mainly through billions of dollars a year through USAID. The U.S. government is the biggest supporter of financer of journalism throughout the world.
This, what Robert Kennedy Jr. is saying today, 10 years ago, he would have been locked up. This is what we were talking about. I mean, MK Ultra, people hadn't even heard of it 10 years ago. Now it's just, oh, yeah, of course. Of course, it was real. And now you've got to think, how much of a hand did the CIA have in this lockdown situation and the fear mongering that we went through for, you know, a virus, which, regardless of where it came from, wasn't the killer that it was made out to be. I mean, we have the data. You know, but now it's just, oh, yeah, 1.1 million Americans died from COVID. No. With COVID, maybe, if we even have accurate records. So how much were they doing this? And for what reason?
Well, it's the for what reason
mm-hmm.
that comes to
yeah, that's important. Four. Yes, that's very important. For what reason? Besides ultimate control, which of course is always
fun to have. I think it was a control test. It was testing.
Yeah. Well, test successful.
Yeah.
I mean, I was reading about this book called The Loss of Art Healing. The Lost Art of Healing, sorry. Nobel laureate Bernard Lone that writes in here about an experiment that was done on a condemned prisoner in 1936, that he was given the choice between being hanged or having his blood gradually and painlessly drained. So now what would you choose? Like, you want to be hanged, or are we going to just slowly drain your blood until you die? Which one would you? I think we'd all choose, well, drain me slowly then. So they strapped him to a bed, blindfolded him. But what they did is they didn't actually drain his blood. They attached water containers and had the drip bucket so he could hear the dripping, which he thought was his blood. His heart ultimately stopped because he really believed he was dying. He didn't lose a drop of blood. This is...
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Deadly stuff. that kind of thing. I'm like, yeah. Wow, you could tell people you're going to die from something and they'll believe it.
Well, that's why it's really not good to listen to some advertisements which are promoting weird diseases and ailments.
Exactly. And this is why that should definitely be banned. It's not, it's horrible.
Should have been banned years ago. I don't understand it.
Even if it comes on, you should turn off the sound and turn away. Because I agree. I think people's, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, but you see that thing, oh, I might have that. I think I have that. I think I have irritable bowel syndrome. Pretty sure of it, actually. Now, one more, a little more accurate clip from RFK, who I think is looking really good with this, at least for a fringe of the American public like myself. He explains exactly how Trump got duped by the swamp in a massive way.
Presidential candidates, whether it's Obama or President Trump or Biden, come into office saying, I'm going to get rid of the swamp. I'm going to get rid of the corruption. But then they get in there and something happens. You know, Trump got in there saying, I'm going to get rid of the swamp. He asked me to be on a vaccine safety commission. When that news got out, Pfizer gave him $1 million for the inauguration and then for his inaugural party. And then he appointed two of Pfizer's lobbyists, Scott Gottlieb and Alex Azar, to run HHS, and they killed the Vaccine Safety Commission, and then Gottlieb went to serve on Pfizer's board. That is the swamp. And they, you know, when these guys get in there, they, what happens to them, they either get co-opted because all the money and because all the congressional chairs are captured by those agencies, so they can't do anything unless they do what they're told, or they just get overwhelmed because these agencies are so huge and the corruption is so entrenched in them that that they don't know how to fix it. They don't know how, they're not going to go in the weeds and fix it. So they appoint somebody safe to run that agency, you know, somebody like Pete Buttigieg, who's not going to fix it, who's going to basically make sure that he doesn't embarrass the presidency over the next 4 years. And he's safe, and he doesn't know how to run that agency or fix it. He relies on the guys who've been there for 20 years to make sure nothing bad happens that's going to embarrass the president. And they also have all these different capacities for committing civil disobediences. If he does something they don't like, they know how to kind of bring the economy down, bring the country down, bring the, you know, they're the guys who make the railroads run on time. And if you do something they don't like, they can stop the railroads from running on time and cause, you know, a lot of embarrassment.
Huh. I mean, it's not that you wouldn't think this, but to have a Kennedy say it out loud, I think is remarkable.
Well, the real problem here is, why is somebody going to ask him the following question? How would you make it any different?
That question may have been asked. I have not had the time to listen to all of the full interviews, but I would presume any producer worth their salt sending these clips or sending time codes would probably have waited for that as well. But we'll see if that pops up. I don't even know if he wants to answer it, because that could also mean he's running. Yeah. What is the deal with not, yeah, when you announce you're running, something changes with the finances? What exactly is it that you then can't do or can't do with the money? Do you know?
I knew some of it. I don't have it at the tip. I don't know right now to give you the list.
Okay.
But there's a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
And it has to do with the way you collect the money, how you collect the money. Like, you can't collect, you know, there's limits. There's no limits right now. Some of you just want to donate.
Oh, you could Robert just donate Kennedy. $1 million if you want, no problem.
Or seven or ten.
Yeah, I see.
Can't do that when the election thing, election rules.
Well, he is shining a light on something. And how about that? That Trump got so bamboozled, he brought that moron, and the guy's now, he's on the board of Pfizer. I mean, can you believe it?
Trump was totally taken.
Yes. Which shows he knows how to fire, but he really doesn't know how to hire. Or just he hires on gut instinct and doesn't do the background checks or whatever.
A little bit too much.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He did have some good people that he hired, but, you know, he at least half of them were no good. In fact, many of them were just turncoats. They were backstabbers. He's really, looking back on it, it's a miracle that, you know, he did as well as he did.
No kidding. And now, of course, DeSantis is out there doing the same. I just happened to be in Dallas to go on Glenn Beck's show. Glenn Beck, probably, I think, very clear example of the big money conservatives in the United States. I'm just guessing. I don't know for sure, but it kind of feels like that. And he's a recruiter.
Well, we have to remember that Beck and Michael Savage. Well, no, not Michael Savage as much, but Glenn Beck and the great one, Mark Levin.
Yeah.
They were Trump haters when Trump first started to run. They weren't going to support him in a million years.
Oh, I forgot about that. Well,
yeah, can't forget these things.
Yeah, but that's why there's two of us. And so DeSantis has a book out, which is irrelevant because the book is just cover to get on shows. And he goes on the long form interview podcast, the same one I did with Beck with the white hanging microphones. And you got to like what he's saying.
So the White House Task Force was hammering me for like the first, like really like 3 months, because they wanted me to be, clamping down harder. And And she, you know, she, and she was, so I called, I was like, Deborah, just tell me, when in American history, Mata, has this been done and what were the results? Because, like, I kind of feel like, you know, we're flying blind here and we may be doing things that could be damaging. And as she said, she's like, you know, it's kind of our own science experiment that we're doing in real time.
Burks.
And that didn't sit well with me. No. I mean, you know, you're a citizen of a republic. You're not a guinea pig. And so what I think that there's a whole bunch of other things I talk about in the book. You remember the George Floyd riots,
the
epidemiologist, because people were saying, you've been telling people have to stay in your home. And like in Florida, they were killing us, because even in those early days, you know, when we were following federal guidelines loosely, but we were following some, we were playing golf. I mean, the villages, they're setting record for golf. People are boating, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. They were so mad at Florida for doing that. People on the beach, all this stuff. That was their position. You are killing people if you leave your house. So then all these people are, like, thousands of people are protesting. 2,000 of these epidemiologists write a letter saying, we do not condemn these protests because of COVID. Indeed, we think they're vital for public health because they're fighting racism.
It's a bigger disease than COVID.
And so that's when I knew.
Is
this public health, a clan of people, they are sick. I mean, they are ideologically captured, and these are not people that should be anywhere near the levers of power. So I basically, from that point on, I would exclusively listen to a very handful of people. You know, Bhattacharya from Stanford, Martin Kaldor from Harvard, Scott Atlas, Sunetra Gupta from Oxford, and then my Surgeon General, Joe Latipo, we brought in from UCLA. Yeah. Great.
No, I got to give him points for that answer.
No, they got him geared up to do the right thing in terms of presentation. There's no question about it.
Totally. And that's also true. I mean, that we saw that with our own eyes. We saw what Florida was doing.
I remember that the lockdown time was a very interesting period because some people took it so seriously. But I, of course, at least on the West Coast, had found the loopholes, which were in writing, and I always printed them out just in case.
Remind us, what were the loopholes?
Yeah, the loophole was that if you're a journalist, it's specifically a podcaster.
Yes, essential personnel. We could go out and do whatever we needed to.
You could go out and do whatever you needed to.
Yeah.
And I had printed out that, and I just wrote about my normal day-to-day the way it was. I didn't do anything different. And I noticed a couple of things. One, that people, there weren't very many people on the freeway, but those that were drove like maniacs and nobody pulled them over.
Nobody pulled them over. No, of course not.
The cops weren't going to do anything because the cops were all in.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, they were scared to pull anyone over because they'd get COVID and die. And so it was like crazy. You really had to drive carefully, but fast.
Yeah.
And it was fun because there was nobody on the road. And the other thing I noticed was that from place to place, it's slightly different. When I went to Marin County on a little journey,
a jaunt.
Marin County was the polar opposite of Alameda County, where Berkeley and these places are. Marin County, people were out on bikes, there were hiking, there were jogging. It was like night and day. It was like the Marin County Democrats, they're more of an elitist Democrat, it's a ritzier area.
Mm-hmm.
They had some other rules. And the last thing I noticed is that I carried around these papers, you know, there wasn't anybody policing any of this. This was all stupid, voluntary stuff. You locked yourself in.
Correct.
That I think was the big test that I must have surprised everybody, all the sociologists at the CIA. You just, you know, tell people to lock themselves, lock yourself in jail, sir.
I'm sure they had an all hands to celebrate. Like, all hands, everybody. Let's, hey, CIAers. Because, you know, they talk like Googlers. Hey, CIAers. Good job.
I mean, it had to be, I think it was, I'd be, it's disconcerting because it tells you that the public is just a bunch of
drones.
Sheep.
Sheep. Correct. A sheep with a bad herder. That's right. Well, of course, this nonsense continues. I personally am still waiting for the ridiculous COVID vaccination mandate to be removed so non-citizens, non-residents can enter the United States. It's bad for business. It's bad for morale. It's bad for tourism. It's just bad and it's stupid. And now check this. Get a note from one of our producers. I have a friend who is Ukrainian She was on a multi-month trip to the U.S. in January 2022 when the war hit. The apartment where she lives in Kyiv was hit, I said it on purpose, was hit with a missile shortly after the war started, and she was afraid to return. The U.S. rolled out a plan to allow citizenship or residency for Ukraine refugees, and she applied. And so, of course, she could stay. But now they're telling her she has to leave or get vaccinated. So this tells me this is not going to end. Or the war in Ukraine is ending. That's probably more likely. You know, let's get these Ukrainians out. But if you're going to be friendly to the Ukrainians, you're going to start that crap up and say, no, you have to get your COVID vaccine. Otherwise, you have to leave, go back to Kyiv. So I think we're getting close to the end here, as witnessed by the Wall Street Journal, who says, oh, it looks like President Xi is going to bring Russia and Ukraine to the negotiation table, going to step in and make it happen.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I think Xi definitely wants to do this because it would be the put us in our place.
Yes. Because
this would make just it look just because the kind of the image of the United States that you want to push out there is just a bunch of warmonger assholes.
True. It's all true.
And so we have made zero as a country, as a complete society. We've made zero efforts to end this war with negotiations, pushing for negotiations, talking about anything.
No.
All we're doing is throwing money and arms and bullets, and we're cranking up the shells, and we're making more, and we're responsible for rubbleizing the place.
Wait. We put Ukrainian flags in our profiles.
And we got Ukrainian flags, and we're warmongers.
We're horrible.
So if the Chinese can come in and straighten this mess out, they'll walk away. Look, hey. And they're pointing a finger at us all the time. Look, what's wrong with these people? What is wrong with these people?
I think
pointing the finger at us.
Like we discussed on the last show, I think the benefit is obvious. Xi gets to look like, you know, a great world leader. The U.S. is like, fantastic. Now we can go position ourselves with more money, more modern weapons, more money for the military-industrial complex in the Philippines and, you know, all around Taiwan. And, oh, China's bad. We're going to stock up Japan. It doesn't matter. They don't care about the war. They just care about how much money they can keep flowing. And they were tired of it. They were tired of, they tried the Putin is going to die. He's got cancer. He's got Parkinson's. They have no credibility left. Zero. And Xi, it's probably he wants to ramp up military spending, too. I'm sure he's in on that stuff himself in his country.
They can produce everything. I mean, those guys are out of control with their manufacturing capability. We're so screwed, it's unbelievable.
Well, we're continuing to try and follow some kind of playbook, expanding to Moldova, maybe move some focus over there.
In Moldova, pro-Russian protests are underway in the capital, Chisinau. It's the latest in a series of demonstrations that have taken place in recent weeks against the pro-Western president Maia Sandu and the Moldovan government, who have accused Russia of plotting against them. Pro-Russian forces have been resurgent in Moldova since Russia attacked neighboring Ukraine more than a year ago. Thousands of Russian troops are stationed in the separatist Moldovan region of Transnistria in the east of the country.
Now, I'm looking at these protests. I'm not seeing professionally printed signs. I think this is real. People are like, come on, stop you with your EU nonsense. Get out. They want that EU shill lady to step down. I want to get rid of her. I think that
the queen?
No. The president of Moldova.
Oh, Moldova.
Yeah, or whatever they have. Yeah, you know, our QQ guy. He says that she's a total all-in shill for everything, all things Euro. And European Union.
Yeah, that's what you do.
So this is probably true. And then, you know, we have this very pathetic event that happens with one of our drones, which, by the way, a drone is controlled by, some dude sitting in a container somewhere in Nevada.
Or maybe. A woman.
No. We never see the women controlling him. It's always the dudes. But in this case...
Yeah, but we even knew a woman who was... drone driver.
No, she was the IT manager and the admin of the drone. She did not drive it.
Okay, she didn't drive the drone.
So we have this.
The Pentagon
admits they have to have women drone drivers. I don't believe for a minute it's old men.
Well, Okay.
The Pentagon admits it will be very difficult to recover the U.S. surveillance drone that was ditched in the Black Sea. But two officials now confirm Russian ships are at the scene and may have already picked up pieces of the wreckage. The U.S. says the drone went down at about 5,000 feet of water after being struck by a Russian jet. Officials say after the collision, they were able to remotely wipe out the drone's sensitive information.
There's probably not a lot to recover, frankly. As far as the loss of anything of sensitive intelligence, etc., as normal, we would take, and we did, take mitigating measures. So we are quite confident that whatever was of value is no longer of value.
How about the price tag on that surveillance drone? About $32 million.
All right. So they released video footage of this event. What a bunch of horse crap. By the way, it kind of...
Well, I have a couple CBC clips about this, which I thought were funnier.
Well, can I explain what I saw first? When you hear this, what comes to mind is how the in World War II, the British Spitfire guys, they used to knock the V1 flying bombs out of the sky. They'd wingtip them and stuff like that. Hit them off course. That's not what happened here. There were two. First of all, the Russians say, well, the drone was not flying with his identifier on. Okay. Now, this plane, so you see the drone flying, and the drone is just, it's like a Cessna, basically, a very expensive Cessna. And it's got one propeller on the front, just kind of, drones around, it's got all the expensive stuff.
Isn't that the one with the propeller in the back?
No, this is the one propeller in the front. Mm. And at least I believe so. It could have been a rear view. That's possible. In fact, that's more likely. You're right. But I see the Russian jet come up, passes by twice. The first time, it's just accelerating and pulling up and moving right in front of the drone, which really what you get then is jet wash. But there was no touch. There was no contact. Then the Russian plane comes back, does it again. There's no contact. The plane is not off its axis. It doesn't go out. What they do is they disrupt the signal and you get kind of a test pattern. Bull crap, this thing was knocked out of the air. Unless something else happened that we didn't see on video, which they're not explaining, then they ditched this thing themselves. This was not we crashed into the drone and destroyed it and it sank to the ocean. This is, I don't know what it is, but it's not the way they make it look at all. So let's hear your entertaining clips.
Well, I think that the thing that was funny, according to all the reports, is that the Russian jet also dumped a bunch of fuel on the thing.
No, there was no dumping of fuel. That was jet wash. They're saying that was fuel?
No, listen to the CBC reports. I think they're pretty complete, part one.
Right. We are also watching the skies over the Black Sea, where the U.S. says it was forced to down its own drone after it was struck by a Russian fighter jet. Paul Hunter now on concerns this could escalate tensions between the two superpowers.
It's known as a Reaper. A U.S. military surveillance drone seen here in Defense Department video. Now in a high-stakes drama with Russia after something happened over the Black Sea near Crimea. Spotted and intercepted midair by two Russian fighter jets. It was not shot down, but, says the U.S., there was contact.
One of the Russian Su-27 aircraft struck the propeller of the MQ-9, causing U.S. forces to have to bring the MQ-9 down in international waters. Several times before the collision, the Su-27s dumped fuel on and flew in front of the MQ-9 in a reckless and unprofessional manner.
President Biden was briefed on it immediately. Russia's move described as dangerous and brazen on Capitol Hill.
I want to tell Mr. Putin, stop this behavior before you are the cause of an unintended escalation.
Underlining the severity, Russia's ambassador was then called into the U.S. State Department for talks. Anatoly Antonov later told reporters Russia does not seek confrontation with the U.S., and he denied contact with that drone.
There was no collision. You said that. The problem is that we didn't contact to this drone. We didn't start firing. It's very important.
But he underlined Russia's view. It considers Crimea to be Russian territory.
Well, here's a question. Now, I have a question. What if okay, we sprayed fuel on the drone, what is that going to do?
You know what I think? I think the Russian pilots were jokers. One of them dumped fuel on the plane. They go in front of it and try to set it on fire.
Yeah, with a match. They're leaning out the side of the passenger side window.
Put the afterburners on, throw some flames back, and maybe they'll catch up.
Please, no, grow up. No, it's all bullcrap. They were just playing back and forth, just messing around, and the drone operator decided to ditch the thing. There was no contact. There was no fuel dumping. That was. This is all stupid.
And well, those are people that said there was fuel dumping, as you heard. That was the Pentagon guy.
Yeah, but, oh, I'm sorry. Let's believe the Pentagon guy.
I'm just telling you, that's where I got that information. I don't know that you have that better information.
I saw what I saw. If that video is true, that's what the Pentagon is putting out.
Let's believe the video.
What?
No, I'm just going to take your argument and put it back at you. Let's go with part two of these.
I'd just like to point out that they say that they knocked it down. There was no contact. That everyone saw. That's the video they put out. So it discredits the contact, whether that was fuel or jet wash that they're showing. And you still, you know, it's not like gasoline on the ground where you throw some gas on something, you throw a match, it's going to light up. It's bull crap.
The thing that's interesting about that last clip, if you just play the very end of it, this is the issue. This drone was not in the middle of international waters. This thing was surveilling Crimea.
Play the last end.
We didn't start firing. It's very important.
But he underlined Russia's view. It considers Crimea to be Russian territory.
Isn't that kind of a given now? Now that they are in Crimea?
Well, that's what I would think, but we still don't recognize it. So we make the claim that this thing was flying around international waters. It was surveilling Crimea.
Yeah, of course.
And that's why they mentioned that at the end of this clip. That's never mentioned by any of the other reports in the American media.
No, why would you do that? That makes us look bad.
Onward.
Considers Crimea to be Russian territory.
This drone can carry 1,700 kilos of explosives.
Yeah.
This drone can carry a few bombs.
Bombs?
What will be the reaction of United States if you see such Russian drone very close, for example, to San Francisco or New York? What will be the reaction of United States? For me, it's clear.
And Paul, it sounds like there's word tonight that Ukraine might get some jets of its own.
Yeah, it may well be, Adrian. And, you know, fighter jets are precisely what Ukraine has been asking for. Poland's prime minister now saying that country may give Ukraine its Soviet-made MiG-29 jets within weeks, though he's also said Poland would do that only if other countries follow suit. Slovakia is also now saying it's ready to hand over its MiG jets if others join in. There's still no signal, however, whether the U.S. will send Ukraine F-16s, though discussions are believed to be ongoing on that.
Oh, of course. Well, there you go. We need jets because, you know, we need jets. I love the guy. It could carry bombs. Yeah. The Reaper drones can have some armaments, but you can't carry like a nuke. You know, it's a single engine thing. It's not like a bomber. but this story that I picked up just makes all of this seem so phony baloney, this whole war. Listen to this.
Russia's war in Ukraine has sparked a surge in demand for weapons and vehicles. But the conflict is also inflating demand for blow-up weapons that are being used to deceive the enemy. This Czech company produces more than 30 different inflatable military decoys, from pretend tanks to jet fighters. Its output has jumped by 100% in the past year.
If you were 200 or 250 meters away and you didn't have binoculars, you wouldn't be able to tell if it was a real weapon or a fake one.
The technique isn't new. At the end of the Second World War, the British used these rubber tanks to fool the Nazis.
Those tanks were simply traps. They played an important role in the war.
The war in Ukraine has brought inflatable weapons back into fashion.
So, are we even sending real weapons there? Or are we just sending some blow-up stuff?
Well, we'd be saving money if we were sending blow-up stuff.
No, we know where the money's going. We know that's not going to Ukraine. We know that the money is going into everyone else's pockets. But now I'm thinking, how many of these blow-up things are there?
Now, just, I'm thinking there's probably a lot more than we'd like to imagine.
I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement. This has got to end. This stuff is stupid now. We're really going into wacko territory. In the meantime, you won't hear much about this, but the Russians did agree to something very important.
Russia has agreed to extend the Ukraine grain export deal following talks with the UN, but only for 60 days, half the term of the previous agreement. The grain export pact has helped to ease the global food crisis triggered by Russia's invasion of Ukraine last year. More than 24 million tons of grain have been exported under the deal.
So there's your 60-day timeline. Maybe.
It actually might be what it is. It may be just telling us in 60 days this is over.
This is over. Yeah. I mean, because he...
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But at least he's letting food out or whatever, whatever the thing really is all about. That's pretty good. So maybe just go through China real quick. Because, you know, China is now on deck trying to help this, trying to fix this. And it just seems like everyone wants to hate China. Everything we do is all about bad, bad China, China, China. And this very surprising news that I came in today.
Well, the FBI is now investigating a fire in a New York penthouse that started hours after agents arrested a Chinese billionaire. Hua Wengui was taken into custody, and 6 hours later, flames erupted while agents were still in his apartment. The former ally of Trump's strategist Steve Bannon is now charged in a $1 billion fraud scheme.
Yeah, this is the GTV guy.
I'm sorry, who?
The GTV, the Guangdong TV. This is the guy who's financed everything that Steve Bannon does. We know him as Miles Kwok. This is the guy who finances the whole operation. You know, Bannon is always like, you know, playing that song, you know, down with the CCP or whatever. This is that guy. So that now they went after the main financier of all the anti-China stuff or whatever he was doing. And and so they arrest him, and then his $32 million penthouse catches fire. Oops.
Now, where was this?
New York.
Now, this is kind of disconcerting.
You think? Here,
one thing, it was only just recently, we had some clips, I never played them, but about the police, the Chinese CCC police department. There's
being
one in
everywhere. Everywhere.
There's one in Toronto. There's one in, I think there was one in Manhattan, and they closed it down. What are these guys doing with their own police departments in New York City?
So here's the assertion. He allegedly used some of the money raised through his company GTV Media and other entities to buy a 50,000 square foot New Jersey mansion, $37 million yacht, $3.5 million Ferrari, $140,000 piano.
No such thing as a $37 million Ferrari.
No, 3.5 is a $37 million yacht, a $3.5 million Ferrari, $140,000 piano. I mean, so what are they going after? And they apparently seized $650 million in alleged fraud proceeds from 21 different bank accounts.
Now, who's they? You keep referring to the FBI?
Prosecutors.
What, New York State prosecutors? Government? Who?
Let me see. I think it's New York State, yes.
Southern District? Which one? Which group?
I don't have that information. It's NBC New York reporting. So let me see. SEC separately accused him of misrepresentation in raising hundreds of millions of dollars. So it probably is the Southern District. And you know what? This could easily be connected to the banking crisis. I don't know. I mean, or they may want to connect it to the banking crisis. That's always fun. Do that. But this is very weird. And it's also a big downer for Steve Bannon, because that's his sugar daddy, as far as I understand. And meanwhile, in Washington, D.C., we're continuing to go against China by getting TikTok banned.
This morning, the Biden administration is demanding that TikTok's Chinese owners sell their stake in the company, or the app could be banned in the United States. The demand marks an escalation from the administration as the White House looks to resolve national security concerns about the app, with many worried the Chinese government could force TikTok to hand over Americans' user data. The director of the FBI last week said the app, quote, screams of security concerns.
Could they use TikTok to control data on millions of users?
Yes.
What does that even mean? Could they use TikTok to control data?
Security concerns.
Could they use TikTok to control data on millions of users?
What kind of question is that? This guy eagerly says yes to.
Isn't that Rubio?
Yeah, of course it's Rubio. He's
what
all
the hell's his dog in the hunt here?
Money? Well, he's on the Senate Intelligence Committee, which is the people doing this. So, you know, he's very important in this deal, and a deal it may be, because you don't know how many.
Let's go back up to your question, which is, what the hell's he talking about?
Exactly. This is propaganda. I have some thoughts, but listen again to his question that this guy eagerly says yes to.
Security concerns.
Could they use TikTok to control data on millions of users?
Yes.
Raining.
Oh, yes, they can control my data. What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything. It's a dumb question and a ridiculous answer.
Exactly.
Yes.
Reining in TikTok has won bipartisan support, but some Republicans want an outright ban.
This company should be banned. I don't know why they're allowed to operate in the United States.
Republicans overnight responding to the administration's new threat.
I think they're right. On this phone that everybody has, TikTok is able to harvest your data all the time.
Wait, listen to what they're saying. This is scandalous.
TikTok is able to harvest your data all the time and provide it through ByteDance to the Chinese Communist Party.
Okay, so let's just break that down in pieces.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Do they have proof of what you just said?
I have none has been demonstrated. And mind you, these apps are running on Google and Apple devices. Apple in particular has locked down a lot of what your data, whatever that means, your data can be given to the Chinese government. You know, your data is given freely, in fact, for pay, by Silicon Valley to the United States intelligence all the time, daily. Well, you want this? Oh, it costs $3,500. We'll give you that person. So this is so specious. And, your data. They just say your data. They're not even specifying what data. So what data can you really get from apps that run on these phones? I argue that's pretty locked down and only really revealable the kind of stuff that you'd want to U.S. intelligence organizations. But we continue.
Well, generally speaking, with almost every app, they ask you to release permission to follow you around, release your GPA tracking, release your contact list.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes no sense to me, why you should give anybody your contact list, alone a map app.
Almost every app does this.
They all do it.
Thank you. And you can, somewhere in the show notes, you have to look for it. You can even get a software development kit that you put into your app that literally allows you to replay what a user did, which is meant, of course, to see if you can find out why the user experience is not working, or what they're tapping on, what they're typing in. This is not secret. Every app that puts that in there, which will get into these app stores, can do this. But they're singling out TikTok. And I have some ideas. We'll finish this clip.
And provide it through ByteDance to the Chinese Communist Party.
The White House has until recently been more reluctant to ask TikTok's Chinese owners to sell their shares, looking instead to work with the app to install data safeguards. But last week, the White House came out in support of bipartisan legislation that could be used to ban the app. In a statement, TikTok said the best way to address concerns about national security is with the transparent U.S.-based protection of U.S. user data data and systems with robust third-party monitoring, vetting, and verification, which we are already implementing. TikTok's chief executive is scheduled to testify before a House committee next week.
All right, so there's a couple of things going on. First of all, this really started with the projected $10 billion next year that TikTok is taking away from specifically Google, Facebook, or Meta, anyone else who, and you know, Apple is now also entering into the advertising market after they basically put some anti-competitive moves in on Facebook, and you know, and Facebook arguably lost $10 billion a year in revenue because of what Apple did with how Facebook was able to track. I'm sure they didn't just give that to TikTok. But this story came out, lo and behold, your No Agenda show on the leading tip. TikTok enters the search ad market, challenging Google and Microsoft. As if we didn't predict it. We know that users, one out of two from Italian Google numbers, which is probably the same everywhere, go to TikTok first to search for something. So now TikTok says March 9th, yeah, we're going to enter the search ad market. I'll bet that got some people moving. Now, what does TikTok actually have? They have an algorithm that is killer. Everyone's trying to replicate it. They're trying to replicate the whole, what they call UX, the user experience. Reels, Twitter, everybody is now trying to do the video that you scroll up and get the next one. You've seen it. Everyone sees it. It's happening on Twitter because that they think that's what it is. That's, you know, oh, it must be because of that that you can scroll and get the next video. Now, here is what I think TikTok actually has. One of our producers helped me with this, Tokyo Matt, who has some experience with it. Tokyo has something called computer vision, which analyzes in very in great detail the videos that people are uploading. Now, what is mainly being uploaded? I'd say teens, millennials who are dancing in their houses, right? That would be kind of the main one. So they can zoom in, look at the book titles on the bookshelf, identify products on the floor, posters on the wall. That's what they're doing. And I think they're miles ahead with doing this from Silicon Valley. And that's the data that they have. In Silicon Valley, just I don't think they were ready for it. They were focused on Metaverse and now ChatGPT and all this bull crap. And I think that is literally the secret sauce. That's how they know who you are, is because you're showing them. You are showing them. And it's not the Chinese Communist Party. No, it's the advertising department. Now, I'm surprised that they just usurped everybody with this. But now, of course, it's...
Well, go ahead. I disagree. This notion that you just described is hardly new. It's at least a decade old, and it first cropped up in the tech scene when Microsoft brought out those Kinect, or whatever they were, kind of stereo cameras that you could put on your computer. And you could play a game, one of their games. You could jump around. You could play paddle ball, and you could do all the stuff. And a kind of a version of you would be on the screen because it would be looked at by these two lenses. It was determined that those two lenses that were looking at you, those two cameras, were actually being used for the exact same purpose, which is to look around the house, see what books you had, see what posters were on the wall, and on and on and on. And it was turned out to be a big flop. They don't even sell those things anymore. So I don't see how they're ahead of anyone. It sounds like they're just trying to rework an old idea that it was a flop to begin with.
I think you're missing the point. You're missing the point that none of these other companies have been able to get the children to dance in their living room so that they can see all this stuff. The technology is not new, but they've got the formula. They've got the song catalogs, which they purchase outright for huge amounts of money that are being used. Yes?
That, I will back up a little bit and say, that was genius.
Yeah.
And I still don't understand why YouTube had to take down video after video because someone was doing the washing their cat and there was a, you know, some song in the background. Yes, and so they got pulled down.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now we get to the part that is really annoying, because for whatever reason, TikTok is not, and I think this is what the, so Silicon Valley has an ad problem. We all agree on it. TikTok's moving to search ads. Red alert, DEFCON 1, we've got to do something. So we leave that to the side. Now we have the politicians. We know that all these very same companies, probably except for ByteDance / TikTok, whatever the entity is, they're not in on the national security apparatus. They are not saying, oh yeah, we'll take those people down. No, no. If you go on TikTok, and I've had to do some research on this, there's a lot of stuff that would not fly on Facebook and probably not on Twitter either, because Twitter is not the free-for-all that you think it is by any stretch of the imagination. So they didn't go woke, and they're not going broke. And I think these politicians realize that they can't control TikTok. This is control. They want control. Why else would they, you know, oh yeah, we're going to take your data, give it to the CCP. No, they want to control what you can see, and they want to spike what they can spike, and they want to amplify what they want amplified. This is all in the Twitter files. And they want to suppress that which they want suppressed. And I think the politicians who scream the loudest are the a-holes. This is your Marco Rubio. Oh, I got no control over them. It's the whole model is breaking.
Well, I don't know what model's breaking.
The control model. The control model of Silicon Valley being in bed with our national security / intelligence apparatus. Sure. I think that's obvious.
There's no argument with me on this one.
Yeah. So, but now, mind you, there's not a bill in Congress to get rid of TikTok. No, there's a bill that gives the Commerce Secretary the power to get rid of any foreign technology he or she wants.
I would like to know, and I've asked this before, I'll ask it again just to remind everybody my take on this, which is, how can they rationalize this after we have to listen to years and years of net neutrality talk, free internet, and banning the internet in China? Oh, the Chinese are banning the internet. Oh, Iran is banning the internet. They won't let American companies, you know, they won't let YouTube in Iran. They won't do this, they won't do that. And now all of a sudden we're doing it. We think it's great.
The funny thing is,
does anyone explain this to anyone?
No, of course. Net neutrality, we forgot that a long time ago. Ixnay on the et neutrality nay. We don't talk about that anymore. No, but you know, also there's probably not a single politician that will go to bat. You know, an electable politician that will go to bat for this. Do you know how insane people will go if TikTok actually gets banned?
At this point, it's too late.
I mean, you'd have people like zombies, like junkie zombies, killing each other on the street. It's an actual addiction. No politician's going to say, "Yeah, I did that. I took TikTok off your phone." No presidential candidate will do that. So I think what they want to do is they want to bring this company to heel, bring them into the national security state. And the question is, will they? I mean, yeah, if you get rid of all the Chinese, I mean, look at what they're proposing. Yeah, you got to sell, got to become part of America's system somehow. Get rid of your Chinese shareholders. Keep the data in America. Oh, yeah, let's give it to Oracle. That was Trump's idea. Oracle, the database of the intelligence services. Yeah, they are true. Literally the guys who do that. So...
they run the servers for the CIA.
Yeah. But that's...
although, who knows nowadays, it could be switched around. I'm sure Bezos has got his fingers in the pie.
Did you have anything on... Oh, wait, here it is, actually. This is the report, I think, about the... no, we had that one. Do you have anything on the Hunter Biden stuff? Because that's coming out now as well. Which is,
I got lots on the Hunter Biden.
You want to do that? And we got to do two breaks today because people got long notes and all kinds of stuff we got to talk about. Yeah. Let's do your Biden crime family.
Yeah, the Biden crime family story. So there's this guy Comer. This guy that's a Kentucky House member.
He's the one that went
into
after
everything. So I got a sidebar I want to play first, which is just a tease. It's got Maria Bartiromo asking him a question.
The money, honey. All right.
You know, they got her mic'd so she sounds screechy.
You don't think that's just her?
She sounds notably I think they're doing it on purpose.
Well, let's evaluate.
Welcome back. I am back with the chairman of the House Oversight.
Oh, come on. Stop. They've definitely taken out all the low end.
There's no low end. Or mid-range.
They're definitely not doing her any favors.
Welcome back. I am back with the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Congressman James Comer. Congressman, talk to us about Kathy Chung. She's coming in to get deposed by your committee. What are you expecting?
Well, we're going to have a transcribed interview with Ms. Chung. We have a lot of questions about her role in moving documents. We all know now that Joe Biden had mishandled classified documents in at least 5 different locations. We know from text messages and email, she got the job to help with the Biden family moving documents at the recommendation of Hunter Biden. Given Hunter Biden, what we see from bank records and from the emails and text messages with all the influence peddling he's done, we wonder why was Hunter Biden so concerned about Joe Biden's documents. So we have a lot of questions for Ms. Chung, and she's fortunately going to come in voluntarily, and we'll have an opportunity to hopefully get some answers.
That way, who is this Ms. Chung?
Well, see, we don't know any of this because the mainstream media is not covering any of this. All impeachable offenses that's going on right now with the, you know, investigating the Biden crime family and Fox actually pushing back on it, as you'll hear with the next few clips.
Yeah, she's Fox Business,
Fox Business. But the next part is Fox. Okay. And you can hear that they're pushing back. And you'll hear, I'll point it out when it happens. She was hired as kind of a private secretary to manage the loads and loads of these documents.
For the Bidens?
Yeah.
And so her name is Chung.
Chung.
Not Connie. Whatever happened to Connie Chung?
She retired a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Dave. I think she's still married to Maury Povich.
Maury Povich, right. All right. Okay. All right. So they hired a Chung and to manage the documents, and they've got the fix on her now?
No, this was the sidebar. The real story is this one, and this is the Biden crime family, Comer 1, and this story is hair-raising, and it's not being covered by, and even Fox is pushing back on it, and they're doing it in a very subtle way. It's like, well, okay. And this one is just a standard Fox stooge interviewing Comer. Here we go.
Meanwhile, the Republican-led House Oversight Committee expanding its investigation into Hunter Biden. Newly subpoenaed financial records, stacks of documents dating back 14 years are now under review. The chairman of the House Oversight Committee, James Comer, out of Kentucky, is with me now. And, sir, good morning to you. Thank you for your time and for being here today. I want to try and clear up a few matters. You were on with Sean last night, okay?
Okay.
So you have received through Bank of America thousands of these records that go back 14 years. One of them includes an associate by the name of Rob Walker. And you said last night that 2 months...
You can already hear, by the way, he's setting it up. He's kind of getting ready to discredit him somehow. I can hear it.
The whole thing is the purpose is to discredit this. And listen carefully to it, because it's dangerously good. The guy has taken on the aura... And you've seen him before. I can't remember his name, but he's just one of the standard hosts that does
news. Yeah, Fox and Friend dude. Yeah.
Yeah, he's exactly. Yeah. And he's got a disdainful quality in his voice. He's sounding more and more like Rick Sanchez, if you can just remember him. And it's it's like, okay.
Wow. All right.
Here we go.
Yeah, let's continue.
The name of Rob Walker. And you said last night that 2 months after Joe Biden left the office of the vice president, so that's January, February, March of 2017?
I love that. This is him showing that he's, okay, so that's March. That's 2 months. And this is him trying to give himself some credibility. This is what dumb news models do.
I'm guessing around that time, he received a $3 million wire from two people directly associated with the CCP in Beijing. What is that all about, Sarah? You made the claim. What did you discover?
Well, we discovered that they got a $3 million wire 2 months after Joe Biden left office. And then the very next day, from that account, that Walker account that appears to be a pass-through account, then they started wiring money to Biden family members, plural. And there were three different Biden family members that received a cut from that $3 million, including a new Biden family member that's never before been included in any of these investigations. So our question is, you know, what exactly did they do to receive that money? What was the purpose of that $3 million wire? Now, that's just the first wire that we've actually been able to obtain bank records on. There are many, many more.
Okay. This is great.
This just began because this all came from the laptop, and the Republicans finally got in. They could do some investigating. And so we now have a committee looking into Biden and the Biden family, crime family. And now it gets good as he tries to explain more what happened as the douchebag from Fox tries to undercut him.
Okay, you put your finger on it there a second there. Okay, you said, what were they doing in return for that money? Do you have an answer?
I do not. But, you know, the media says, well, this is a Hunter Biden investigation. This is an investigation of Joe Biden. And we're investigating the Biden family. And again, after this new batch of information, it expands. There are more family members involved in this than just the president's son. And what they've said in the media, oh, this was for business. We can't identify any business. It appears it went into their personal accounts. So if China's investing with the Bidens in a business, we can't find any business. They don't manufacture anything. They don't sell anything. They don't own any real estate. We don't know what the business is. You know, my theory is it's influence peddling. And if so, then that's wrong. That's what we call a foreign agent. There are rules with who can be foreign agents, and you have to be registered to be foreign agent. So, you know, the question is, what were the Bidens doing to receive these massive amounts of money from China? Now, we have the first wire, and we've traced it from China to the Biden family members. We have many more to obtain.
Okay, so two more points here in the time we have left. You said another name popped up. Whose name is that? Are they a relative directly tied to the family?
Well, they're a Biden. I'm not going to disclose that new name because that really changes things, because what we assumed was this was just about the president's son and two brothers. But now there's a new name that's emerged. So, and they are a Biden.
Oh, this is juicy. Wait a minute. First of all, so we need to know who this Rob Walker guy is, because he's, you know, clearly there's a straw man in the middle. So, you know, there's always some like, oh, we didn't get it directly from China. So yeah. Do we know who this Rob Walker guy is? Do we know who that is?
Well, they said they determined he's a pass through. So they've already kind of dismissed him.
All right. Now, we need to figure out who the Biden is.
I already figured it out.
Is it Jill? Because that's what I want.
It has to be Jill.
It's got to be Jill.
She is the mob boss.
She is the copy, the toothy copy. She's running
everything. We figured this out a long time ago, that Jill Biden is the boss of the Biden family, crime family.
Oh, man. Do you think they have to address her by a certain name, like boss?
I don't know.
Yeah, boss. Do you think the president goes,
yes, oh, ma'am.
Okay, boss. Yes. Okay, boss. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Now, he's very good at not saying who it is, because it becomes, except on this show, it would become, but on Fox or with this guy that's going to bring out a couple other stupid points, it's open for ridicule to say that.
Oh, to say Jill Biden?
If you said it was Jill Biden, right, already.
Yeah, good point. So this guy is pretty smart, this hick-sounding dude, Comer.
Yeah. You know, it's just because you talk like this doesn't mean you're stupid.
Yeah, it does. So, yeah, it does.
So
they say it does.
So here we go with the third.
This is good.
So we've got a...
Stop. I'm going to give you clip of the day for that one.
Clip of the day. I'll take it.
And that's not just generosity. That's well deserved. Okay, next clip.
So we've got a problem here with respect to trying to determine what exactly this family was doing to receive these transactions from China.
This is important.
And I think every American should be concerned about that. This is an issue of national security.
Yeah, let's see where it goes, okay? It's been 5 years, and what do we have for it? 5 years, long time to investigating.
Now, the troll room is suggesting it's Hallie Biden.
No, she's too much of an idiot.
To be the boss.
She showed up recently. It's because she came down the plane with him. Now, the key to this last clip, which was overlooked by the troll room.
Yeah, let's play it again. Let's play it again.
So we've got a problem here with respect to trying to determine what exactly this family was doing to receive these transactions from China.
This is important.
And I think every American should be concerned about that. This is an issue of national security.
Yeah, let's see where it goes, okay? It's been 5 years, and what do we have for it? 5 years, long time to investigate.
Wow. I need to know which Fox dude this is, because in what world ever does Fox News try to protect a Democrat president?
The Biden crime family.
Yeah, you know what? Fear. I smell fear.
Oh, these guys must be really powerful. I mean, we heard this 10 years ago. There was some black guys on. We had a clip of, I'll never forget it, and I wish I could find it, about these black guys who were like gangbangers. It was one guy, and they were analysts, but they were also gangbangers. And one of them said, you know, people don't overlook Joe Biden. He's the real guy you got to be afraid of. And everyone laughed at him, and that was the end of it. And I always thought that was kind of weird to say that out of the blue.
So you're standing by your, it's not the young one, the Haley. You're sure it's not? The New York Post is saying it's Haley.
Haley?
Yeah, Hallie Biden. Sorry, Haley. Hallie Biden. That's what they're reporting.
Why wouldn't it be Jill?
Now, I want it to be Jill, too.
But her?
I want it to be Jill, too, for sure.
But let's get back to this guy. First, he says, okay, hold on a second here. Let's let this play out. And it's been 5 years, over 5 years.
Yeah.
They haven't been investigating this for 5 years. He's implying that this investigation has been going on for 5 years. It just began this month.
Well, I mean, this just shows you, and that I'm telling you, that's fear. There is some fear going on at Fox.
Play that clip one more time before we go to the final clip.
Okay, here we go.
So we've got a problem here with respect to trying to determine what exactly this family was doing to receive these transactions from China.
This is important.
And I think every American should be concerned about that. This is an issue of national security.
I get it.
Let's see where it goes, okay? It's been 5 years, and what do we have for it? 5 years, long time to investigating.
Wow. Bill Hemmer. It's Bill Hemmer.
Bill Hemmer. 5 years, long time to be investigating. Who's been investigating for 5 years? Who's been investigating this for 5 years? They just got the Bank of America records.
Investigative reporter Bill Hemmer. He's been on it for 5 years. He's found nothing.
He hasn't been investigating anything. But
no, of course.
So let's go. Let's finish off now. This is the last clip of the series.
Okay.
And Hemmer, if that is who it is, I think it might be. He brings this 5 years thing, this 5 year meme up again. What is wrong with Fox? What's going on at Fox News? That's the question I'm asking. I don't even the Biden thing. I think we're way beyond that, at least on this show. But now I'm really concerned about Fox and being the straw man and the target for everybody.
Well, hold on.
They're stooges.
I mean, you cannot argue that Tucker Carlson has been the. I hate using it. Limited hangout of Fox News once in a while. And what happened to the January 6th video? That ended real quick. That ended within two broadcasts. Done.
No. Oh. It ended with one broadcast.
Well, he did a follow-up. He did a follow-up.
But using the same clips.
Yeah. It ended. It ended. Why? Because they're all phony. They're phony. You got to agree, Tucker is, I mean, yeah, he puts out some good information, just like the Twitter files have some good information. This is giant. Fox is not your friend, and people are sucking that up. They jack it into the main line the minute they get out of bed. This. So, yeah. And then look at the It's kind of stupid that MSNBC and CNN are revealing, you know, we have these text messages from Tucker Carlson, who seems to be, if anything, a company man. This is bad for our stock price. I hate Trump, but, you know, we've got to be careful. He can blow up the company. He doesn't give a shit about America. If these text messages are true, so they need to pump the brakes on that even, because people are going to start catching on. Fox is not your friend.
We have to realize, what's Tucker Carlson's background?
Oh, his dad was Voice of America, a propagandist organization.
He was at MSNBC.
And he interned for the CIA. He was at MSNBC with a bow tie.
With the bow tie.
You cannot trust a grown man with a bow tie unless he's over 70.
Or in the publishing business. They all think they should wear a bow tie.
You never see a drug dealer with a bow tie, do you? Uh-uh. No. This is the nail in the coffin, I think.
Here he finishes them off and brushes them off. Here we go.
Apparently, you have found suspicious activity reports, and you've been assured by the bank that they're going to give you that information. So what that reveals, I do not know. The ranking member on your committee, Jamie Raskin, says this. I fear this wildly overbroad subpoena suggests that your interest in this investigation is not in pursuing to find facts or informing public legislation.
Wait a minute. Who? Raskin? He's quoting Raskin now?
He's quoting Raskin.
Raskin is the biggest shill of all. Oh, man.
I fear this wildly overbroad subpoena suggests that your interest in this investigation is not in pursuing to find facts or informing public legislation, but conducting a dragnet of political opposition research on behalf of former President Trump, meaning you're doing the work for President Trump potentially as a candidate. What would you say to your fellow congressman, Jamie Raskin?
I'm very disappointed that Raskin would issue that letter. He issued it late Sunday night. Obviously, he was working in conjunction with the White House. This is the second time the White House has pulled a prank after 10 o'clock at night so they can have the first story in the morning. I haven't spoken to Donald Trump since he left office. I don't even know who Donald Trump's attorneys are. In that letter, he accused me of working with Donald Trump's attorneys. That is not true. And Jamie Raskin owes me an apology. But really, at the end of the day, the purpose of that letter was to leak to the press that I had subpoenaed Bank of America 2 weeks ago. That was the purpose of the letter. And he just threw in, a bunch of other false accusations.
Oh, you know exactly what happened here. Okay, let's play it with the third mic open.
The purpose of that letter was to leak to the press that I had subpoenaed Bank of America 2 weeks ago. That was the purpose of the letter. And he just threw in, a bunch of other false accusations. It's very disappointing that Jamie Raskin would stoop to that level. And that's one reason why we don't take the ranking member seriously in our quest to get to the truth of what exactly the Biden family was doing with our adversaries in China.
Okay, we will see where the next chapter leads. James Comer, thank you for your time. It's it's rather incendiary, and we'll see whether or not you're onto something. Again, 5 years investigating. Nothing just yet.
Oh, man. Okay, we're officially screwed. No one is on the side of the people. Trump was too dumb. He hired stupid people who put us into lockdown. He allowed that to happen. That is the fatal flaw in my mind. Everything else I like, but that was a fatal flaw. Allowed the American economy. And by the way, as we'll find out after the break, he did a lot that set us up for this financial crash too. Putting the Treasury and the Fed so close together, all this stuff. I don't know if we can come back from it.
Well, now, and I think Fox is no good.
I mean, surprise, surprise, but this is really blatant.
No, we've been saying this. In fact, you, probably the first one to say it.
Fox is run by Democrats.
Over 10 years ago that they're an arm of the Democrat Party.
Good report, Mr. Dvorak. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who just put a big C in the Biden crime family. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. John C. Dvorak.
Well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. In the morning, all ships and sea boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, and all the dames and knights out there.
And in the morning to the trolls in the troll room. Let's see how many we got. Now we have the donation segment a little bit earlier. Oh, they're scurrying away. Yeah, typical Thursday. Typical Thursday. 1939 is the number. Still at 1939. Oh, 1905. They're going down because, oh, it's a donation segment. There's no content. Oh, that's where you're wrong, people. We got lots of content today in the donation segment, and we'll have 2 hours more show coming up. We're an hour and a half at
that
least.
Little, but by the way, 19, that's a good number for a Thursday.
It's now 1879.
Well, that's normal.
It's now.
Well, you know what? These numbers may have all been higher if you'd gone in faster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my mistake. 1879. We're hanging at 879, and we've lost another 1856. They have no idea what they're missing. They have no idea what they're missing. Value for value is the name of the game. And I'm just going to presume people who don't listen to the donation segment also don't donate. So good riddance to you. That's just my presumption.
Yeah, Ian, there's probably some truth to that.
I mean, it's only 3.5% of people who actually listen to the show.
Well, how many people actually go into the chat room to begin with?
But in general, we know it's no more than 4, probably more like 3% of all producers who listen who donate. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a big number.
Yeah, and that's and it's not an insignificant number. I mean, we have 800,000-900,000 people who listen to every single show. It's not always the same people, of course, but you know that it's a big. There's a lot of carryover, and a lot of people are delivering time, talent, and treasure. One of those three for the value for value. And yes, there are. You know, we got Clip Custodian, we got Dave Ackerman, we got all kinds of people who are doing phenomenal things for the show. But there's a big contingent that is just freeloading. And the producers call them douchebags. We'll get to that in a moment. Now, we also, at no cost, we have producer Aaroner, who runs noagendasocial.com, which we highly appreciate. And, you know, people take that for granted, too. It's like, hey, I can just be an a-hole here. I mean, it's a community, people. It's free. It's free.
It's the internet.
Yeah. They're so used to free stuff. It's like, I can just do whatever I want. There's no cost to me. That's right. But your No Agenda show takes an army to run, a real army. In fact, we even have producers who start building apps specifically for what we do. This is what this whole Podverse and Podcast Addict, what they do is you get the bat signal, tells you to listen live, you tap on it, you get the troll room, you get the live stream, and it's the same app that has your podcast. I mean, these are all people who've done significant things for us, and we appreciate that.
I wonder
that,
how many people listen in the car.
Oh, I think a lot of people listen in the car. You mean live in the car?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll find out. We'll find out.
I think we should find out because that's the future.
Yes. Funny enough, it is. And it's a format that people love. For some reason, they really like it. And it's much better than the video stuff.
I'll tell you what it is. I know why.
Well, it's called radio.
Well, besides radio, it's if you listen to today's talk radio,
mm-hmm.
which is where you get some interesting stuff.
There's too many ads.
It's too many ads.
The ad load is 20 minutes an hour. That's the AM talk radio ad load.
Are you sure? I thought it might be. You sure?
Could
it's
be
not more.
Could
than
be
that?
More. Could be more. And by the way, most podcasts are suffering under the same issue. Is the ad load on podcasts because the ad rates are down? People are getting remnant inventory. You know, Joe Rogan on Spotify, there's 10 minutes of ads at the beginning. Then every 8 minutes in the middle of the conversation, it cuts out to an ad. And I pay for it.
Computerized cutout?
Yes, it's not scheduled.
Oh.
And I pay for Spotify specifically so I don't have to hear ads. But on Joe Rogan, you get ads. So, and I'm sure people don't want that from us. That would be annoying. Maybe they do. We're not going to do it because we'll be out of business within a week with the topics we discuss.
Yes,
we'd be like Fox News. I agree with Bill Hemmer. Yes, 5 years. Oh,
Bill
Hemmer's
a good guy.
Good guy, Bill. Bill to the rescue. We like
five
Bill.
5 years. Woo-hoo! 5 years of Bill. Investigation.
Man, let's get Bill on the show. So thank you, producers, who do bring us your time, talent, and treasure. We always like to highlight the executive and associate executive producers who come in with numbers above $200 to help the show stay on the road. We had a really bad one, the last show, and so luckily people stepped up. This is also why we have a newsletter to bring you news in a letter form, but also to remind you that we have a show and people remember, and we appreciate that. Like Anonymous, who is in North Ridgeville, Ohio.
We got to thank the artist today? No.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No. No. Oh, okay. No. Oh, okay. No. We have to thank the artist. Ladies and gentlemen, I completely forgot. We had a hat trick. This is, you know, I had it in a special spot to talk about Roger Roundy's hat trick, and force of habit made me just skip over it because I don't look at that section. Thank you, Roger Roundy, for bringing us three genuinely beautiful art pieces in a row that hit home, that hit all the buttons, that outdid the competition. Competition was stiff from time to time, but the No Agenda Mrs. Pillman ADHD, a throwback to the Ms. Pac-Man, was by far the best piece of art, which that was on 1537. We titled that Dig It Up Canada. I mean, we loved it. There were some other things that came close. And by the way, we're not just giving away hat tricks. Because, you know, we actually discussed, let's just screw with Roundy. Remember that? I think that was me. Hey,
we always do that with everybody who has a hat trick coming up.
Let's not give it to him.
Well, that's the way judging goes. We've talked about this on the show before, and people should understand that.
Actual judging. This goes, yes.
This goes for, and I've done a lot of judging in different venues, and you will actually get with someone, and you'll make a judgment. You'll say, let's give it to these guys because it'll piss everybody else off. Yes. That happens.
It does.
And it happens a lot.
Yeah.
And there's also, I wouldn't give him an award if I had to. So that never happens. Top 10 lists are the same way. When you would talk, you know, Forbes and all these magazines do all these lists.
Even the Forbes 500 is bullcrap. Even how much money or how rich someone is bullcrap.
Let's leave this guy off and see what happens.
Exactly. Hey, this guy didn't do an interview with us, so we'll put him at number four. Oh, yeah.
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 It's, the whole thing is...
It's both.
And I'm not saying that... I mean, we do the best we can to get the best art that we can.
Now,
I ended up... The one piece we both liked and laughed at the most...
Janet Yellen.
Janet Yellen on the slot machine.
Which you put in the newsletter, and that
I used it as a newsletter because it's so funny looking.
I mean, as it comes to funny, it was on the mark, but it was so easy to do that we just felt the amount of effort that had gone into what Roundy did, which, by the way, Comic Strip Blogger slagged off. He's like, oh, Roundy gets it. Roundy gets hat trick just because he took existing thing and turned it into meta into a pill, man.
Pill. Yeah. Well, that would be him.
Yeah.
Under all circumstances.
Yes. Actually, didn't Comic Strip Blogger put one in? Didn't he submit something as well?
You can't tell anymore because his style is gone because he doesn't actually do anything. He goes to the AI engine and says, create for me, dream something up. And he says, create this. And then fake art comes out and he puts the logo around it. And then you don't spot it as his material. He has this distinctive voice. The voice of an artist is gone.
Well, he did this Roger hat trick incoming inspired by Roundy. So I don't know what he did there. That doesn't look like it. It's not his typical art. That's true. He lost his artistic voice to the AI. The first casualty of
casualty.
Yes, AI casualty. Comic Strip Blogger is the first one to fall on the field. As an
down.
AI. He's down. He's down. I don't know if he could be resurrected. So we both like Death Jar Jar's Yellen, which I actually use for the bat signal and use it for the newsletter. So it got a lot of exposure. It was funny. a number of people had done.
By the way, anyone who's gone to a big casino, you see that woman. she is all over it.
It's Janet Yellen.
Usually hanging on to five machines.
Now, there were a couple of. Man, you are mass bumping. Your thing is all over the. Can you
I moved it.
Can
I
you just not it. Touch it? For like 2 hours. Why? I don't touch my mic.
No, because I got to get rid of this thing that's in front of that.
Well, get a different boom or something.
It would be the same thing.
Well, it's funny. I never hear that on any other podcast but ours. Whenever you talk.
Somebody sent me a letter. Say they don't hear anything. And then there you go.
That's what you do. That's what you do. I don't know
I'm
why.
I'm not doing it now. Just get back to work.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't said anything the whole morning, and now I can't handle it anymore.
I haven't been moving it at all.
You've been bumping it. I know. People say, I don't hear it. It's more annoying that Adam says it. That's correct.
Well.
It annoys me.
It's a new bit.
It's not a bit. A lot of bank run stuff, which just wasn't the Monopoly guy. No, bank on
fire. We're not
fire.
Using the Monopoly guy.
No. A lot of vasectomy stuff, which was kind of funny, but it's not. Because, you know, we joke about it. But
we overdid it with the vasectomy face.
Yeah, I think that was peak vas face. I don't think we can go much further than that. So a couple of Silicon Valley Bank things. We actually did talk about Sir Paul Couture's China Rising right on schedule. It was a beautiful piece, well made, but it just didn't quite cut the Mrs. Pillman, you know, which it just hit it all. It was such a good effort that we could not give it to Roundy.
Actually, Couture's material recently has been very interesting because it's top notch. And I would say that people should try to get a hold of him if they need a logo or something for their company.
Yeah, for kidding. No kidding.
Seriously, he's got some nice stuff.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, another Janet Yellen on the burning bank building. You know, a little too obvious, maybe. Buckle up for safety. I'm not sure. It was just the best one. And it completed the hat trick. So we're very happy that he did that, and we really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll never hear from him again.
Roundy will be back. Roundy.
We had a bunch of artists that did that. They do work and work, and they throw a bunch of stuff at us, and they get a hat trick out of the blue after years.
And then they drop off. Give us some names.
Well, Martin JJ is the best example.
Although changing our time to an hour later also screwed some people somehow. I'm not sure if that screwed up.
Martin JJ bailed long before we did that.
Yeah. He still listens. He's still around. I know he is.
Well, he's on the social media. Yeah. He's like a ranter. He's on the No Agenda Social ranting about one thing or another. My God.
Well, Martin JJ, come on, man. Come on back into the fold. Let's give some people a run for the money. We'd love to see it. All right. Now we're going to do our executive and associate executive producers. Because we love them. They keep the train rolling, so to speak. Anonymous, North Ridgeville, Ohio, $1,033.33. Thank you. From Procrastinator. I was going to donate many months ago, but I didn't get around to it. Please email me to tell you what I need to do to get my ring and certificate of credit. All I need is a simple de-douching. That's all. No jingles.
You've been de-douched.
Now, we can't talk about the new ring website yet. That's a no-go for now, for today.
There's a couple changes that Mimi wants to make on the site.
Okay, so we're not quite ready for that.
But, you know, I could tell you what the URL is and people could suffer.
Okay.
It's noagendarings.com.
Hello. Boom. Hello. Are we genius in the marketing department or what? noagendarings.com. That's where you'll get your ring and your sealing wax and your certificate of authenticity. And thank
now
you.
Now I'll get grief for
it. Oh, yeah. You're going to grieve for a long time over that one. But I goaded you into it. I'm proud. Thank you, Anonymous Procrastinator. We appreciate it. And we'll be. Does he or she even have a night name, or is just Sir Anonymous, or what are we doing here? Let me see.
Procrastinator. Sir Procrastinator.
Okay.
That's Sir what I'd call him.
Procrastinator.
Her,
him. Okay. All right. On the list now. On the list.
James Briscoe's up. He's in Bayshore, New York, 61115. Hey, fellas. Haven't had much time to listen recently. Oh, that's too bad. He's an old-time listener. Mm. He says, hope this helps. And that's it. No jingles, no karma. Give him a double up.
You've got karma.
Now, we do get a lot of notes coming in today. Do you have this one in front of you by any chance, this particular note?
Which one? Dame Susan?
Hold on.
Yeah, I have it right here.
Dame Susan, Buffalo, New York, and it's a switcheroo 525. Okay, what's going on?
I have the note, and this is proof of my...
Proof of purchase.
All right. warning. Switcheroo ahead.
Okay.
Please credit this donation of 525 to my daughter, Jessica.
Oh, okay.
This will bring her to damehood for her birthday on March 12th. Please, Dame. So she's got a birthday and a daming.
Yeah.
Please donate. Dame her as Dame Whatchamacallit.
Whatchamacallit. Dame Whatchamacallit. Okay.
And add her to the birthday list. Thank you. Dame Susan of the Parkways. She's got a really a pretty writing style.
Yeah. So it'll be Jessica, Dame Jessica, Dame Jessica of the Whatchamacallit?
No, just Dame Whatchamacallit.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to put Jessica Dame Whatchamacallit. Okay.
Well, you mean for the credit.
Yeah, for the credit, exactly. Then we get SDG from Oakland, California, 456. Nice one. Thanks, Shortino. SDG, that's what it says. Thanks, Shortino. Thanks.
Is that short?
Shortino.
Shortino.
Thanks, Shortino. Well, you're welcome, Shortino. That's all I got. I have nothing else.
Hmm. Onward with Sir Anonymous in Aurora, Colorado, 369.99. See attached note, page 1. Sir, let's see if I even have that here. 36. Oh, yeah. okay. This is the note from our anonymous friend, and he is the one who we had to remove his name, which we actually put up somewhere. This is a note from Sir Anonymous, a Viscount of ADFC and Arapaho County, correcting the record. This is another make good. Then he talks about
make
something.
Good with a donation. So I guess
yeah, make good with a donation, which is the way to go.
And so he got credit for show 1500. He got a knighthood, and now he wants to add to that for a title change. Is that what I'm understanding from his note? Yeah.
He wants to be the
Viking. Well, here it is. As of March 1st, 2023, I'm Sir Anonymous, the thrice knighted Black Knight, Viscount of the ADFC and Arapaho County. That works for me. That works for me. Yeah. All right.
And I say this is important. I'll just read this. As always, I shall remain a faithful promoter of the No Agenda Show, surreptitiously hitting people in the mouth. Have to be very careful within the walls of my government facility, where everyone is literally a you-know-what. No jingles, no karma.
And as we know, a lot of those you-know-whatters listen to the show. They love it because they love to hear how much we got right, and they always think it's humorous when we get things right, and also when they get things wrong.
Yeah, and I want to mention this because I was thinking about this. You know, we don't get necessarily, and we don't really are looking for secure information. We're not looking for
James O'Keefe, brother.
We're not looking for whistleblowers or anything like that. But if a spook is listening and we get something so horrendously wrong that it makes their skin crawl, we don't mind hearing it that we were way off base.
No, we appreciate that actually.
We appreciate that a lot.
And we appreciate David Hazan from Brooklyn, New York, 333.33. A round of nuclear war karma for all producers and douchebags, please, especially the ones in the subs underwater.
You've got karma.
Yeah, we got a lot of submariners in the crew. We love them all.
Zach McClellan and Frankenmuth, Michigan, 333.33. I don't have any note whatsoever from him.
We have no note, so that's a double up, booming it out.
There you go.
You've got double up. Karma.
Okay, now this one I got because I made sure that I would be able to redact this one on the fly. Betty Bloodlust sent us probably the longest note in No Agenda history. Would you say it's close? I mean, it was just like, holy crap. It was so long. So I'm going to summarize because I do understand why it was so long and what she was saying. Hold on a second. I've got this note here. And she says, in the morning, gentlemen, here's some money, $333. You're the best. It's been a while since I donated, so I wanted to add some value for value, boots on the ground information along with my donation dollars. This will probably be long, so I don't expect you to read it all on air. Correct. But what she is saying is she says, you don't need to dig up Canada. There's so much lithium in Nevada. Nevada? Nevada. Nevada. Is it Nevada or Nevada?
Nevada.
Nevada. That they're trying to dig up Nevada.
Yeah.
The Lithium America's Lithium Nevada Corporation. Now, she is in the agriculture business, small agriculture business, and she is fighting against this. Let's see. I am one of the leaders and founding members of this volunteer community group comprised of mostly of local farmers and ranchers, but all community members have a seat in it. With my Gitmo Nation goggles firmly in place, I am helping to lead my community through direct negotiations with Lithium America / Lithium Nevada Corporation in managing the impacts of this project. Now, does she explain what the name of her? Oh, yes. The Thacker Pass Concerned Citizens, TPCC. Thacker Pass Concerned Citizens. That's what you
media
want to
look. Media is not covering any of this that I can tell.
Of course not. But this is where your battery's coming from. Anyways, I could go on, and it's hard to paraphrase the crash course knowledge I've gained on this topic over the past 2 years, but I'm happy to share it if you're more interested. If there's anyone out there in Gitmo Nation who can offer advice or support, I'm on No Agenda Social. This is not an active tutor or anything, just there. Perhaps a Yoko dog howling stereo goat karma would do the trick for all of us here on the front line fighting for our livelihoods against the jolly green energy giant. Also, a douchebag call out to my brother and his fiance.
Douchebag.
And that other lady in my town, she knows who she is.
Douchebag.
Thank you very much.
You've got karma. You've got karma.
There you go. Asian dog and luge karma. Thank you very much, Betty Bloodlust. We appreciate that. And I don't know who you are on No Agenda Social, but you probably post something, and I'll happily.
We will follow up on this eventually.
Yeah, this is good. So no one else is talking about digging up Nevada for your cell phone battery and your Tesla.
Dakota in Sherwood, Oregon. Thanks, guys, and $333, also the same as Bloodlust Lady. Thanks, guys, you're great. I call out Ted and Riley, I think it's R-Y-L-E, as douchebags.
Douchebag.
Can I do one more?
Douchebag.
And ask Adam, if I may, are you aware Homeland Security knows who the four Satoshis are and who created the Bitcoin? So it wouldn't be decentralized, right? Are you familiar with this clip?
I'm not. Clip? Is it a clip? Did you get a clip?
I have a clip. I didn't put it on today's show.
Is it a clip from these? I had no idea.
The problem, I sent her a note back.
Where's the clip?
Because I thought the clip was cut off. I didn't think that there was. It was a complete. It was a hearing with Homeland Security, where one of the people went and said, "I'm going to talk to this Satoshi guy because they had confiscated billions of dollars, I guess, in bitcoins from some crooks. All part of the Silk Road deal.
Part of it, yeah.
And so they went and found, and he went and found his. He found supposedly again. You know what I mean? Satoshi with the three other guys who created Bitcoin, and they had a long chat, and I never found out I didn't get the rest of it, so I'm holding the clip.
I would like to hear more about that. However, it makes no difference. There's no master key that unlocks the power of Bitcoin that turns it back. So it is still completely decentralized. There is nothing that the four Satoshis or 40 Satoshis or 4,000 Satoshis could do to change it. So, no, it's still decentralized.
And you know that for a fact. Yes. They don't have a back door.
Yes. Of course, the code is open. I'm running the code. I can look at the code. I've looked at the code. Everyone sees the code, the protocol. No, there's no back door. There's no secret sauce. No one runs it. It's run by the people who run nodes and mine, of which I'm both. So, no. No.
Onward.
Onward. Baron Sir John, Heber Springs. Heber Springs. Is that Arizona or Arkansas?
Arkansas?
Arkansas. Heber Springs, Arkansas. Happy St. Pat's. Wait, is that, when is it St. Patrick's
Day?
That's
tomorrow, I believe. St. Patrick's Day, 3/17/23. Anyone want to do a donation? Do it tomorrow.
Another
3/17/23.
Another donation opportunity missed? Or did you have
it? We don't have a show tomorrow. We don't have a newsletter tomorrow. I don't know what I can do.
Well, thank you, Baron Sir John. He thought about it. 3/17/23. Happy St. Pat's, Baron Sir John, Knight of St. Patrick, Patron of Saint of Engineers. Let the green beer flow. All with you. Thank you very much for your courage.
Anyone who wants to do 3172 would be good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we'll take that. Yeah.
Kevin Promu in Newport Richey, Florida, 31706. ITM, and thank you for your courage, gentlemen. This long overdue transfer of value from my smoking hot wife and myself is in honor of our 17th anniversary. Your show consistently adds value, depth, and new topics to our marital discourse. Thank you. I don't know if that's something you should be thanking us for, but okay.
Another marriage saved or created. You're welcome. Kevin Weinstock is in Tucker, Georgia, 234.56. We love that. He says, I'm still a douche, but no jingles, no karma. Okay, you got it. And Sir Jeff is in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, 233.33. Thank you for your courage, he says. Go karma if you don't mind. That is Sir Jeff of PA Route 33.
You've got karma.
All right, so now we have Dusan. Is it Dusan?
Dusan, maybe?
Yeah, Dusan.
Dusan.
Dusan Melektik in Bartlett, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pair. 222.22. That's a bunch of
ducks. Row of ducks.
Now he's sending a note, handwritten, and I have it here. So I'll struggle to read it. In the morning, 222.222, you. Value for value and shameless self-promotion. I am making a fundraiser items. Okay, he's making some items for Etsy for establishment of the small solar observatory in Bartlett, Texas.
Okay.
For purposes of science, local educational outreach and art, like seen on the www.etsy.com/shop/mscientificgallery. Okay, so look for M Scientific Gallery. Stop by, get some striking merch, and support science. Dusan Melektik. Okay,
I'm trying to get he. You know, it's not very handy that he wrote that in. Oh, here I have it. Okay, I'm going to put that in the show notes next to his credit because there's no way anyone can ever remember that. Don't do that, people. Send us something I can copy. What does he have here? Oh, it's kind of interesting. Scientific stuff.
No.
All right.
I'll check it out later.
He's doing a fundraiser. All right. Thank you. Jasmina Hrapovic, Alicante, Valencia, España. Switcheroo. 222. Short row of ducks. This donation is for my dearest brother, Adi Hrapovic. Happy birthday on the 16th of March. So that is today. We'll have them on the list. Birthday. Enjoy the sabbatical, she says. So let me put that in as a switcheroo. And there we go. Another.
Michael Bernstein in Raleigh, North Carolina, 20401. Here is money for an excellent product. Speaking of an excellent product, my company, Mutual Wind Tiny Homes. We know this guy.
He's got nice tiny homes.
Bought a he's always got these stories like this. It's always fascinating. This is why good reason for listening to the donation segment. Mutual Wind Tiny Homes bought a decommissioned prison.
I've seen the pictures.
And converted it into an incredible RV campsite community. For example, the prison guard tower will become one of the most unique Airbnb stays in the Carolinas.
Yeah, and he's not lying. It's pretty intense.
Does it include a machine gun turret? We're having a viewing party on Saturday, April 1st, and all Gitmo Nation members in the Raleigh-Richmond area are welcome. Please contact me on Instagram, Mutual Win Tiny Homes, and Mutual Win's one word, or by email, michael@mutualwin.com. For this free April 1st event. Cheers, Michael. Please add to the show notes the Facebook invite. And then he's got a URL.
I got that. As much as it hurts me, I got that.
20401.
And then we have Darius Unity, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 202.42. And of course, the smaller the amounts, the larger and longer the notes. It's amazing how it happens. He says, in the morning, gents, thank you for your unwavering courage, all the value, and for the gracious opportunity to repay y'all with some coin, as the young folks call it. Really? Y'all helped me win a decent bet on the Super Bowl, believe it or not. Oh, that wasn't because of what I said. Although, I don't know, maybe it would have helped. You know, it's kind of like the inverse Jim Cramer's stock ticker. Also, congrats to my pal Roundy on the hat trick. 202 because I'm a child of a certain swamp with that area code. 42 because that's the trademark flagship of my apparel brand, War and Tees. WARNTs. So shameless plug, I'm still running the promo code ITM for a lucky 3% off everything in my unique 150 product catalog. Okay, well, congratulations. In closing, I humbly request a de-douche.
You've been de-douched.
As this is my third executive producer credit in as many quarters, no shade. It's because of my fat fingers and my non-proofreading self. With Gitmo Nation's help, though, I plan to become a 420 born day night with what likely will be an easily shelled out $420. Yes, it's coming up April 20th. It's a show day for those that plan meetups in the D.C. area. No jingles, just an all-purpose R2-D2 karma. Which I have. Thanks again. 333T. That's trillion. Apologies for the blog post of a note. I shall atone. Peaceful tidings, Darius. You got it, Darius. Thank you, brother.
You've got karma.
All right. Now we have two donations combined. And this is Kara Spring, Kara Spangler in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. $200. And then George Biggs in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania, $200. And so they sent two checks.
Oh.
So they want two credits, which they're going to get. And then, but one note.
That now, right now here. You're talking efficiency. Good work.
It's interesting. Good approach, work. Yeah. In the morning to you, John and Adam. Greetings from the southwestern Pennsylvania. We started listening to and enjoying the show for the past 1.5 years. And it's time to give back to the best podcast in the universe. Please de-douche us.
You've been de-douched.
Those who know Agenda Together, stay together. Adam is always great to listen to, especially when he makes appearances on some of our other favorite shows, such as the Survival Podcast.
Survival Podcast Donation. Survival Donation.
Survival Podcast Donation.
Yeah.
JCD brings humor whimsy. And joy to every show. It doesn't seem like a buzzkill to us.
You're clearly not an end of show mixer, okay?
Keep up the good work, gents. Thank you for your courage. If any of the, and meanwhile, that goes on, shameless plug portion of the note.
Go for it.
If any of the producers out there are stained glass artists and are looking for original stained glass patterns,
ooh,
please feel free to check out Hallowed, H-A-L-L-O-W-E-D, Hallowed Oak Designs on Etsy.
Oh, nice.
Lastly, we'd like some business exit strategy, Karma, and the, quote, you're going to need a Bitcoin jingle. Thanks, George and Kara.
They're saying that all hell is going to break loose and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
You've got karma.
Kaban Drazic? I'm thinking.
Hey, Drazic, yeah.
Drazic, yeah. Brentwood, California. It's a fancy area. $200. Thank you, gents. Abracadabra, Holmes. Abracadabra to you. I'll do the next one as well since that was so short. Lisa Bernier, Clarkston, Michigan. Oh, no, that's... No, we're going to do that in a moment because that was all our donors. That was our execs and associates. We're going to save the rest for later. Okay. All right, onward with the show. Hold on, let me check. Let me see what we're doing here. 1628, so we lost about 300 trolls on that pass-through. 300 trolls. Yeah. No, actually, I think it's not too bad when you think about it. It's only 20% drop-off, and they do come back. They're probably, they're pooping right now. Like, oh, okay.
They're probably pooping all the time, knowing these guys.
Thank you very much to the execs and associate executive producers for episode 1538. These are forever credits. You get to use them for the rest of your life. You can tout them. You can put them into ChatGPT, so it'll be stuck there forever. And whenever someone ChatGPTs your name, it'll pop up as an executive producer, guaranteed. Put it on IMDb. You'll see all the big Hollywood bigwigs there. But best of all, if anyone ever questions you about this credit, which is real, we will vouch for you personally. Thank you for supporting the No Agenda Show. If you want to support us, go here.
Vorak.org/NA.
And thank you again for making 1538 a real reality.
Our formula is this. We go out. We hit people in the mouth. Whoa.
By the way, the Dutch producers are pointing out to me that BBB is also analogous to 666. So that's the, we got it.
Oh.
we got
Why not
it. We got
go
it.
For
we
got it. It.
I think we need to talk about Silicon Valley Bank and Credit Suisse and everything that's happening on the financial markets today, just because everyone's talking about it. So we might as well throw in our 2 or 3 cents.
I have 3 clips.
Good. Do you have an overview? Do you have an overview clip?
No overview. I think we did the overview. You did a fine overview last show, and I don't think we need to do another overview. But I want to get down to the what's causing the generalities and generalizations. I got all the funny clips.
Oh, okay.
Now,
all right.
I'm going to start off with, this is on one of the business shows. This is Bernie. This is the origins of the woke bank thesis.
Ah, yes, the woke
because
bank.
Because this is the great 93-year-old Bernie Marcus.
Wait a minute. We have to explain the thesis.
The thesis is that the bank went broke because they were woke.
This is one of my favorite. They did too much climate change, too much Black Lives Matter. It's pennies. It's a drop in the bucket, people.
And so the thesis, I think, stems from Bernie, although I have 2 other clips that back it up. I mean, first we have Kevin O'Leary, who was on Fox, for some reason saying, I don't care if I lost $6 billion in the bank, you know, and he goes on and on about bailouts when it wasn't a bailout, but okay. I don't know what his problem is. And then
stop,
I have...
Stop. What do you mean it wasn't a bailout?
It was the bailout is when the taxpayers save a bank.
Oh, okay. But do you consider the FDIC guaranteeing all deposits not a bailout?
Yes, I do, because the bank was had net assets. I don't think it's a bailout. I think it's just making the depositors whole and then closing down the bank and then moving all the assets someplace else. I don't think it was the bank wasn't in arrears.
Okay.
It wasn't broke like these banks that went bad in 2008 because of the credit, because, you know, they were burned by the mortgage.
Okay.
Bonds.
Fair enough. Although I do have something to say about what assets did they have? I'm sorry, just so I can follow that up later.
They had a lot of bonds that were they had to hold to maturity, and they weren't going to be able to do that.
Okay. There's some other assets.
The government can do it.
There's some other assets we'll talk about in a moment.
Well, let's go. I'm going to save Bernie for the third clip then.
Okay.
Let's go with this one. Here's one reason this one cracks me up. This is all stuff on Fox. SVC is a Democrat bank. That's why they bailed it out.
98% of all political contributions from tech employees went to Democrats in 2020. With one insider telling the Post, Silicon Valley Bank is the bank of the Democrats. They're looking after their own. If it was the bank of MAGA, what are the chances it would be bailed out? There's not a chance in hell. Democrats say Biden did a bang-up job and is setting the stage for more handouts to Americans.
How we were able to protect jobs and how we were able to get those payrolls done so that these owners of these small tech companies could pay their staffs, et cetera. We did a miraculous job.
I believe the Fed did the right thing to protect depositors and a lot of these companies. But when you look at Jackson, Mississippi, when you look at East Palestine, Ohio, when you look at folks with student debt and medical debt, they see that the Congress isn't capable of acting in 3 days the way they were capable to act here. And that is a big issue in this country. Why is it that some people who deserve relief get the relief and others don't?
I just have another question. And I'm not really pushing back too hard, but the FDIC...
Before you go to that question, I'd like to comment on this clip.
It's Maxine Waters. It speaks for
itself. No, the guy that came second, he says Congress won't act on this, won't act on that, but Congress acted on this. The Congress didn't do jack about this bank.
No, it was all the Federal Reserve, the FDIC, and the federal home loan. That's where everyone's getting the money from. The FLHM, I think it is, or what it's like. There's money for federal home loans, and that's what's filling up this backstop. But I just have to point out that the federal deposit insurance is $250,000 per depositor. And they're going, so Silicon Valley Bank chose to have no security, no insurance, anything above and beyond that. And so that is a change that is quite significant that, it doesn't matter what happens to the bank. If I have $10 million in there or $250,000, I'm going to get my money back. You have to agree that's different.
Yeah, the rules have been changed, or seemingly so.
Yeah.
But I'm not even sure that's true.
Okay. All right. Continue.
The FDIC can do what it wants. If it wants to save all the banks, you know, for
they
you
don't
know,
have they don't have all that money.
They have a lot of money.
Yeah, they don't have that much. But okay, continue.
Let's go. Well, again, the bank is not insolvent, so it's not like a big deal.
That's your opinion. It depends on the
it's
assets.
It's not an opinion. It's like it's a fact.
You heard it on Fox News. I agree.
I didn't hear it on Fox News. They're all against this idea. You're the one that's all lockstep with Fox News.
I am not. Oh, no, I don't think so.
Okay, here we go. So. I'm going to go with Bernie on this one. Right to Bernie Marcus. This is what I think triggered the woke stuff.
The Home Depot co-founder, kind enough to join us now. Bernie, always good seeing you. Do you think history is repeating itself? Should people stay calm? What do you?
I can already. He's already not.
Yes, he's got
Zoom.
A Fauci wheeze in there. You caught it.
Let's go back.
The Home Depot co-founder, kind enough to join us now. Bernie, always good seeing you. Do you think history is repeating itself? Should people stay calm? What are you telling him?
Well, all I know is that I can't wait for Biden to get on the speech again and talk about how great the economy is and how it's moving forward and getting stronger by the day. And this is an indication that whatever he says is not true. And maybe the American people will finally wake up and understand that we're living in very tough times, that in fact, the recession may have already started, who knows? But it doesn't look good. And I feel bad for all these people that lost all their money in this woke bank. You know, it was more distressing to hear that the bank officials sold off their stock before this happened. It's depressing to me. Who knows whether the Justice Department will go after them? They're a woke company, so I guess not. And they'll probably get away.
When you say a woke, company, that's in technology, venture capital funded startups and all of that. They might have been disproportionately exposed to this. Do you think there are others like this bank out there?
I think there probably are. Yeah. I think that the system, I think that the administration has pushed many of these banks into more concern about global warming than they do about shareholder return. And these banks are badly run because everybody is focused on diversity and all of the woke issues and not concentrating on one thing they should, which is shareholder returns.
Yeah, it's an easy one. It's an easy one. I mean, there is a lot of money being returned by Democrats now. I got this money from Silicon Valley Bank. We'll send that back. They did have a lot of DEI initiatives. All that's the really simple stuff, I think, that is just, and it's all for political reasons, like everything today. If we can slam a politician from the other side, it's good to go. So I'm with you on this. This is bull crap. It's also bull crap what they were doing.
Of course it was.
Obviously. But $70 million here or there, that's not what got this bank in trouble.
We got a note from someone who ran the... I don't have the note in front of me, unfortunately. I'm going to have to get it.
I have it here.
Who is involved with the UK branch of this thing.
Yeah. Okay. So the title of that was Bank Bailout Happening As We Speak. And they said that the HSBC... bought the Silicon Valley Bank UK.
Yeah, read this note. It's quite interesting.
I don't know if I have. I think I have the follow up here, in which. Okay, the Fed said it will establish a bank term funding program that will allow U.S. banks to borrow billions at favorable market terms if the loans are backed by treasury bonds, high quality agency debt, or mortgage backed securities. There's our old favorite. I'm sorry, I don't have the UK version.
I'll dig it.
But the point was HSBC is a notoriously corrupt bank, and they will do whatever is necessary to keep everybody safe. And they bought SBV UK for $1.
Yeah.
That was the
point. £1. Let's get that straight.
I'm sorry, £1, which is almost $1. What are you talking about? It's not a big difference.
Yes, it was a very interesting takedown of the. He blamed the Bank of England. The whole thing's corrupt. It's corruption, but it's beside the point. It's always used as political. Everything's a political football.
Correct.
And so the woke bank. It's funny. I just get the biggest kick out of it. I like that guy, that old geezer, the old coot, that used to, that 93-year-old man who's still kicking and still yelling and screaming and get off my lawn is a great guy.
Mm.
So I'm all in.
All right.
That's me next. Next stop.
Well, you,
that's so all I got in the bank.
No, you have the O'Leary. You have the O'Leary clip, which I'm still waiting to play.
Oh, you want
to
play? Yeah, O'Leary is like, O'Leary seems to be just full of shit. And
he's a Shark Tank guy.
And he's also like nonchalant in a very odd way. He says, yeah, we had $6 billion in the bank and we should have lost it all. We could take the hit.
All right,
what's he talking about?
Did I get this right that you had money in SVB, a lot of money?
I had many of the companies that we invested in our private equity portfolio from Circle on down. Circle had about $3 billion, and it was the largest depositor and others. And, you know, when you're in my situation, you don't care that much about politics. You care about policy. And so you make your decisions every day. My job is to get up in the morning and put millions of dollars to work. I really care about policy. And what I see here, you know, regardless of where you stand in politics, it's a pretty bad policy, because what we did, in my view, it's a personal opinion, over the weekend is to nationalize the American banking system. We basically told everybody around the world, you know, regardless of who you are and what bank you're in, no matter how much you have, we guarantee it. We don't care who you are or why it's there, but no matter what happens, it's guaranteed. So just think about it. I'd like to keep this very simple. I'm a bank manager in a bank today after this new policy decision, and I get compensated on the value of my bank's stock. You just told me I could take all the depositors' money, go to Las Vegas, put it on red. Maybe I double it, maybe I lose it all, but it doesn't matter to me, because you, the taxpayer, and the government guarantee all my depositors.
Well, this is
just
true.
That's just a mischaracterization.
Well, that's a simple way of looking at it. It's a very simplistic way, but there's no doubt that they changed the rules and depositors are safe, right? That's
in an instance where the bank was not out of business, it wasn't broke, it wasn't without funds. Yeah. And it should be that way. I think what they did was the right thing to do.
Hold on. What happened here is the Federal Reserve raised rates so quickly that
it was their fault.
Many banks, but including Silicon Valley Bank and many of these regional banks, because they saw the interest rates so low, they didn't expect. Why is a whole different thing. They didn't expect the Federal Reserve to raise rates so quickly, 7 or 8 times in as many months. And they had these long-term, very low interest-bearing instruments, which, you know, they had to, because they were insolvent. They ran out of money. They needed $2 billion. And then people like Peter Thiel and Jason Calacanis, who claims that he protected everybody by yelling so loudly, they're the ones that sparked this run. And the run is not the same as this It's a Wonderful Life. The run today is click, click on your phone, and you've transferred the money.
So, which brings me to the point I brought up on Dvorak Horowitz, where I argued the same points, DH Unplugged. I thought it was illegal to create a run on a bank. I thought it was illegal.
Is it? I don't know.
I thought it was illegal to create a run on a bank. And Peter Thiel, in particular, Calacanis, I don't know what his involvement is on anything.
He was yelling loudly. He takes credit. He takes credit for saving everybody.
He takes credit for the bank collapse?
For saving everybody. No, he says, I was warning everybody 3 days before this happened. Well, that's the same as creating it, as far as I'm concerned. I think he was part of creating the run.
That's okay. Then I would like to know what the law is about this. My understanding was always that it was illegal.
I don't know. Okay.
Well, we'll never find out.
Well, let's just do a couple of things here. Because we will find some stuff out. But first, I need to alert you to the fact that Silicon Valley Bank Okay, so venture capital firms. I know a little bit about this because I know some of the players involved, and I was, and, you know, my company is also at Silicon Valley Bank. So they don't actually always put their venture capital money into these companies. They themselves have Silicon Valley Bank provide the loan to these companies. The loan is to the venture capital companies, but they give the money to the companies they're funding. And I did not know this. Steck turned me on to this. You know, there's nothing like an old school lawyer, gumshoe lawyer, to go and look at this stuff. Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, and Silicon Valley Bank are the largest banks who take patents as collateral. 20% of which are pending, and a large portion which are inactive because they don't want to pay the $10,000 a year to keep them active. So when you see that no one has bought this bank yet, you know that this is what people are confused by. So wait a minute. There's plenty of people who want to buy this bank. How come a deal hasn't been made yet? I think it's because of this, because then now they have to, and I have all the patents here. He got tons of documents on it in the show notes. So a lot of these loans or these accounts, the deposit accounts, were actually loans to the venture capital companies, if I'm saying this right, secured by the patents that these companies had or were patent pending. So that needs to be taken into account. That is not going to stand up very well. And that's probably a big reason why no buyer has been agreed upon yet. But they're going to have to find someone. If it goes, you know, it depends on who gets this thing. But that's going to be something of great interest if we hear about it at all. Now, couple of things. Let's just play some shortish clips here from the mainstream to see what they got right or wrong.
We turn now to the banking industry and a new investigation into the Silicon Valley Bank failure. Regulators want to know whether executives got bonuses and sold stock, knowing that the bank was in trouble. ABC's Lindsay Watts has more on this developing story. Lindsay, good morning.
Rhiannon, good morning to you. We have learned the Justice Department and the SEC are launching investigations into the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. They'll be looking into whether any of the bank's executives got unusual bonuses. They'll also look for evidence of insider trading. The bank's CEO reportedly sold millions in stock just 2 weeks before the bank's collapse, but it's not clear if there was any wrongdoing. A former SEC official says the investigation will focus on the timeline.
The SEC and the Department of Justice both will be interested in who knew what when. Normally, the SEC and the other stock exchanges look at insiders of the company to see, you know, if maybe they had some unusual trading.
All right. So I just want to put everyone's mind at ease. This is your typical bullcrap M5M messaging. Oh, they took big bonuses just before it collapsed. He sold stock just before it collapsed. Let me just tell you how this works in public companies. In any company, really, but the way this works with a public company, if you're an officer, an insider, you get put on a schedule. You have a schedule when you can buy, and you have a schedule when you can sell. And you register that. It's registered far in advance. It's published information. The CEO had a scheduled sale for $3.6 million. He'd sold $30 million in the past year, which should give you pause anyway, but these are published and known. The same goes for the bonuses. They took bonuses on the day they collapsed. No, the bonuses are published well in advance, and those that didn't make the cutoff didn't make it out. So that's important to understand, that you're going to be inundated with that to trigger you for political means. Now let's talk about these buyers.
There were buyers who were willing to step in and buy the bank, and that the radicals at the FDIC basically weren't going to allow
radicals.
That to happen. I even heard, again, someone told me this directly that was close to the situation, that the
sources.
Biden administration had a whitelist of companies that were allowed to buy the failed bank and companies that weren't. And so basically you could imagine they're so concerned about some bank getting a little bit bigger, that they've decided to put all these taxpayer monies at risk. And I think it's something we've seen from the Biden administration really from the beginning.
Political.
Is that they've got this radical left agenda, and it doesn't ever exude any even common sense. And so here we are in the middle of a potential banking crisis. We've got people willing to step up and buy the company, and the radical left wingers at the FDIC won't let them do it.
I don't think there's a single buyer, and this is again just for political means. Oh, Biden's so full of, he's no good, no good. It's all political. This is not what's going on at all. Let's take a look at some of the regulators.
Wait. He says the radical what at the FDIC?
I'll have to listen to it again. Let's go. Let's see. Let's listen to the end here. What did he say?
Potential banking crisis. We've got people willing to step up and buy the company, and the radical left wingers at the FDIC won't let them do it.
The radical.
Really?
No, of course not. This is
the radical left wingers at the FDIC won't let them do it.
No, hold on. First of all, true. There was a coup at the FDIC, and they kicked out the chairman of the board. We reported on that.
We did.
Usurped that person. I forget who it was.
They're woke,
but that is not the problem. That is all just being done to get you to vote Republican or Democrat, left or right. How about the oversight? How about the people who gave all these banks good ratings and how, don't worry. Hold on.
I never finished my thought.
No, you can't. You got to be faster. Go ahead. But go ahead.
If it was a woke bank and the FDIC is filled with a bunch of woke a-holes, why would they prevent this from happening? It makes no logical sense.
No, it's all just to turn you into a political bouncing ball and to drive you crazy. This is why your No Agenda show tries to break it down. So we have people who look at these banks and tell you if they're any good or not. No, well, what are they going to do? They should have seen this coming. Oh, no.
Fears of a banking crisis are keeping markets on edge this morning. Both here and overseas. The stock price of one of Europe's biggest banks, Credit Suisse, plunging 24% to an all-time low Wednesday. That bank also has a big presence here in the U.S. Overnight, the firm announcing that it will borrow up to $54 billion from the Swiss Central Bank to shore up its liquidity and investor confidence. Back here at home, concerns still looming over America's regional banks. First Republic stock diving 21% after its credit rating was downgraded into so-called junk territory. Bloomberg reports the bank is now exploring a potential sale. The head of Wall Street's biggest investment firm, BlackRock, telling The Guardian, this is a slow-rolling crisis with more seizures and shutdowns coming. But analysts say no matter what happens, your bank account is secure.
If you have your money in First Republic, it is still safe. There's an implicit guarantee by the feds over the weekend that said depositors aren't going to get hurt here. We're going to look at all the regional banks and make sure the depositors get their money back.
That's not the clip I wanted to play, but we'll leave it as it is. It was actually Moody's has downgraded the entire banking sector just as a joke. We're on top of this stuff. We know what's going on.
The Moody's rating agency has downgraded the entire banking system. It says conditions in the industry are rapidly deteriorating.
Now, the CEO of Silicon Valley Bank was on the Fed board of San Francisco. Go look at, if you want to see woke, the woman who was the chair of the San Francisco Federal Reserve. Now, that's a woke moron. She's doing everything but paying attention, or was she ever meant to pay attention? These people are not doing anything that behooves the banking. They're just letting it all run nuts. But this Credit Suisse thing, there's something going on there. And we, in October of last year, reported that the Federal Reserve opened up a $10 billion swap line with Credit Suisse. I'm sorry, with the Swiss National Bank, to possibly bail out Credit Suisse. Now it's, what, $56 billion?
European markets are appearing to rebound after Switzerland's embattled bank, Credit Suisse, secured a big financial lifeline. Now, concerns over the troubled lender had earlier sent Asian stock markets falling. Credit Suisse has said it will borrow up to 50 billion euros from Switzerland's central bank in a bid to shore up its liquidity, meaning how much cash it has on hand to finance its business. Now, the sudden collapses of two U.S. banks last week have sparked growing fears worldwide.
So I consider that to be actual contagion if our Federal Reserve, nothing federal about it, but our Federal Reserve has been giving money to the very same central bank that is now going to bail out Credit Suisse. I think that is a connection. There's contagion. And who knows what's connected to that? And it really doesn't matter, because this will all happen for political reasons, for whenever we need to change things. And I would say that it is just coincidental, just coincidence, that the Federal Reserve is now jumping up and down and saying, we're so happy that in July, the FedNow network will launch. Yes, long-awaited Fed digital payment system to launch in July. Is this a central bank digital currency? No. It's much better. It's much better. I read from the release. This came out yesterday. FedNow will be known, as it will be known, will create a leading-edge payment system that is resilient, adaptive, and accessible. The system will allow bill payments, money transfers such as paychecks and disbursements from the government, as well as a host of other consumer activities, to move more rapidly and at lower cost. Yes, program advocates say it will get money out to people much more quickly. For instance, they said, government payments like those issued in the early days of the COVID pandemic would have been credited to accounts immediately rather than the days it took to reach most people. Some Fed officials say the program could even supplant the need for a central bank digital currency. Correct. Because we're going to, where central bank digital currencies are being tested now with the SWIFT network. They've tested 25% of these of the countries that are connected have central bank digital currencies. They did this week. It all works. We're not going to get a CBDC. We're getting direct, complete control from the Federal Reserve. Put your money in your account. If there's a COVID situation, we're going to add it to you. You can pay real quickly. We're not even going to hide the fact that we're monitoring you. This is what's happening. And the regional banks are going to go out of business. They're being sucked up into the big four or big six. I think that's by design. I really do. Now, if we're going to have any true contagion and something like 2008, probably not. But I really am concerned that this is going to change your bank account. You'll go to the corner store, and the corner store will say, could you please pay with FedNow? Because then I don't have to pay the 3% on the credit card. And if you still want to use your credit card, I don't have to charge you 3%. They're locking us in. This is how it's going to be done. July. We'll see what happens. I could be wrong, but I see this as the control grid closing.
Well, in places like Berkeley, where it's illegal to not take cash, I think we'll lead the way to a cash.
It is. Okay, you can put this in neon lights. John C. Dvorak says, Berkeley will save America.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't think so. I really...
Everything you described is just a strike at the homeless.
Now, I think the homeless are going to get a bailout. You will get a free phone, or they'll just give you a card. Either way, you get it at the post office, and they'll load you up. Look, they give you a free phone for COVID tracking. They give you a free phone. Here you go. Yeah. And now, but it will not be peer to peer. That would be the true hallmark of a central bank digital currency. I think they're going to circumvent that whole thing. It's your FedNow account. It's your Fed eCoin. It'll be a dollar. It'll work just like Venmo, only it'll be faster and it'll be cheaper, and you're going to use it.
I think you're nuts. But okay. July
is not too long to wait.
No, you want to put another dollar? You want to lose another dollar?
Yeah, I'll take your bet.
You can't just take this can't be some wide open bet. What is the bet has to have parameters.
Well, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying FedNow launches in July, and merchants, so people have stores, people have anything event within, let's put it this way, within 2 months of July. So no, let's take it up until December, from July to December.
No, you pushed it. Well, I'm still not buying it anyway. You're right. I should, from my perspective, it doesn't make any difference what month it is.
Look, you're the guy that wants more money printing. You've said this consistently throughout the entire history of the show. They should print trillions. Have you or have you not said this?
I have never said that they should print trillions. I described a modern monetary theory, but I've never advocated for it.
Yes, you did. Many times you said, I think they should but print it 10 times more. Yes. I defended you
vivid
on this.
Vivid dreams is something you've been taking Erasco or whatever that drug is.
And now you're accusing me of being a drug dealer when you can't. I said a drug user is not the same as dealing. A drug user. I corrected myself. You, my friend, are a money printing fiend. You love it. I've got so much.
Just get the parameters. Go back to the parameters of the bet.
Okay. So the parameters of the bet are. Forget the timeline. We'll get to that. FedNow launches. Merchants will be saying, please pay me with FedNow, or you have to pay 3% extra to cover the credit card cost. That is my prediction. That is how it will work. That is how it will be implemented.
So you think that the super wealthy and probably mean-spirited a-holes that run MasterCard and Visa and other corporations, American Express I would include, and others, are going to roll over for this? I don't think so.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said merchants, like your corner store, will be saying, please pay with FedNow, just like you say, please pay with cash. Otherwise,
and I'm going to have a card. Let's start back it up. I have to have a card to pay with FedNow now, don't I?
No, an app.
Do I have a code? Do I have a tattoo on my arm? Is that what it is?
An app. You get an app.
Phone app.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
And Apple, who has Apple Pay, is going to allow that?
They're going to have to, yes. In fact,
maybe
Apple Pay will even integrate with it. FedNow through Apple Pay wouldn't surprise me. FedNow is going to be the new way that small amounts are going to be paid for in retail because they're literally calling for it. Get integrated now. They're going to roll this out. Your dream of money printing is coming true. What you always wanted, more, just pump more money into it, more money into the economy. That they cannot stop. There's no stopping that. The small regional banks get rolled up into the big ones. That's happening before your very eyes.
That's been going on for 40 years.
Right, but it's accelerated now.
I don't know.
You don't know. That's correct.
I don't know. I don't see any evidence of acceleration.
When the Federal Reserve announces they are launching this and saying, by the way, we don't need a central bank digital currency with this wonderful system, what do you think they're trying to communicate?
How about this? They're communicating the fact that they know that the central bank digital currency is DOA.
Okay. All right. As we say in Bitcoin land, enjoy being poor. It's my favorite.
Okay, Mr. Bitcoin land.
Well, that fixes it. But that's a whole nother conversation. How does that work then?
How does it, they have to be kicked to the curb?
Oh, you low. So low. Why don't you go get that, the so-called four Satoshis clip and we'll talk about it. Please. No. I've had my eye on this for a long time. I see what's coming.
Yes, I know.
And people,
I noticed
people
this.
Can go with the John theory or with the Adam theory. Or you can hedge
what's
your bets.
What's the John theory?
I don't know. Everything's bull crap.
Well, then
it's
how
not
can they go
happen.
With the John theory? You don't even know what it is.
Well, what is the John theory?
I don't have a theory. I think things are fine. The things are moving along the way they move along. It's a slow process.
Everything's fine. That's your theory. Everything's fine.
Yeah, I'm the guy. I'm the little dog sitting in a room full of fire there. That's me.
Everything's fine. It's all good. Don't worry about it. No, it's okay. No, I'm willing to take the opposite of that bet. I don't think anything is fine at all. I think we are going to see actual bank collapses, big ones, real ones, ones that have contagion that are connected. And this, you know, moving everything to digital is the way to go. And it has to come directly from the Federal Reserve, which, by the way, in case you missed it, are the banks. So the banks that you're talking about, MasterCard, American Express, these are all banking companies. It's the same thing. The Federal Reserve is nothing but a collection of these people and these corporations. It's not some other magic entity.
Well, I know what you're ranting about, to be honest about it.
No, of course not. I'm laying it out what I believe to be true and what I think is happening, and I'm warning people. I'm warning that this is not good, what is going to happen. And I don't think it's not a bailout. It's just, whoa, ho-hum, nothing new, nothing to see here. Uh-uh. No, it's all a house of cards, and I think it will come down. It may be slow, but by the end of this year... By the end of this year, the No Agenda Show will be taking donations through the FedNow network.
Oh, but that's not happening.
If that's the only way, it will.
No, I'm not going to argue that. If there's no choice and it's like a credit card and everything the way you describe it, of course we will. But no, it's not happening.
Okay. Well, now there's a good bet.
That's the dollar bet.
I like that as a good bet. Now, and you know what? If we really need to know the truth, we can always go to the O'Keefe Media Group. Did you see this?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see his announcement? What
happened to our guy?
I've heard nothing from our guy. I mean, I think James O'Keefe is doing a masterful job of marketing his new group. I think he looks like a spook in all of his videos now. There's something very spooky about him all of a sudden.
He looks very much like a spook.
And he's, you know,
and he's going on and on about Acorn.
Yeah.
As it was the greatest, which accomplished nothing, from what I can tell.
Which he screwed his co-collaborator on by titling her as just an actress who was hired to do the job.
Right.
It was actually, I think it was her idea.
Very douchey.
Very douchey. And he announces this stuff with, like, Prosobic, who I think, you know, ex-naval intelligence, spook. They all look like spooks.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do. You just take over these operations that... That's how the whole intelligence apparatus works. And it does a good job.
It does a very good job.
I mean, we mock it and point our finger and say, there's another example. And of course, it accomplishes nothing either. But at least people are somewhat aware instead of being duped by crazy ideas.
All right. So talking of crazy ideas, we had President Biden... coming out against guns. He has an executive order, and this was a small, not quite the topic of the banks, but smaller.
President Biden traveled to the Los Angeles suburb of Monterey Park today to sign an executive order aimed at increasing the number of background checks prior to firearm purchases.
This executive order helps keep firearms out of dangerous hands. As I continue to call on Congress to require background checks for all firearm sales.
Monterey Park was the site of January's mass shooting, where a gunman opened fire inside a dance hall, killing 11 and injuring 9 others. The president also met with family members of victims and first responders to that shooting.
It's so sick, but you know, these guys literally will wait through shooting to make sure they have the right perpetrators, so that they can, it's now time to go out and we got to say something about it. You know, if it's a black guy, oh, sorry, we can't do that. Oh, black guys beat up, that killed the black guy. Black cops, no, we can't do that. It's so transparent and so cynical. And then again, he pre-announces his 2024 Biden crime bill.
That we invest more in safer communities and expand access to mental health services for those affected by gun violence. Congressional Republicans should pass my budget instead of calling for cuts in these services or defunding the police or abolishing the FBI, as we hear from our MAGA Republican friends.
And where's Fox discounting this? It was not the MAGA Republicans calling for defunding the police.
No, this is the biggest lie that he's told recently, even though he had bigger ones on, which I'll put on the next show from the Comedy Central show. He's brought back the fine people thing.
And you teased that in the newsletter. You didn't bring the clips?
No, I screwed up. Oh. I get to this clip limit and I just stop. So, but the point, the news, it'll be good for next time. I got some funny stuff for the next newsletter.
All right, but let's go back. This is the second time we have him lying because he is going to. This is just the beginning.
But blatant lies. It's not just. It's just a blatant lie, and I think your point is taken. Where is the fact check falls from Fox News? They didn't even pick up. Nobody took that clip fact and did anything falls? With it.
No.
Where is it?
But besides that, he is gearing up for a crime bill that is going to be unbelievable. I can feel it in every. Maybe he'll do it before the election, but he's teeing it up and is again, of course, because everything is political. Y'all should just turn off the. You know what? Get your over-the-air antenna and watch Hogan's Heroes all day long. Everything else is damaging to your health. Now we're going to put children in jail in school.
We turn now to school safety and a new option to keep kids safe after a wave of school shootings. It's a kind of safe room, and it's right inside the classroom. In less than 10 seconds, this Alabama teacher can deploy a safe room inside her classroom.
I like to leave it out. It's more functional for me. I use this for instructional space with writing. My kids love to free draw on this side.
The city of Cullman recently adding these rapid deploy safe rooms in two of their elementary special education classrooms. It's an idea prompted by the school massacre in Uvalde, Texas last year. The ballistic wall unit is designed to shield the entire classroom until law enforcement arrives to do their jobs.
Then we open the door, we go home. That's the key. We get to go home. Everybody wants their loved ones to come home.
You can see here there's no handle on the outside. So in the event of an emergency, a teacher or administrator is able to close the door and lock it so the students are kept safely inside.
The walls can be activated during other emergencies like severe weather.
It's been really good so far. The kids love it. And that's the most important thing is making it a safe space for them.
These safe rooms are not cheap. They cost about $60,000 each.
You've got to see these things. They're like fold out, I'll say 10 inch thick walls and a ceiling that, on rails, it boom, 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 falls out. You can jam the kids in there. You can probably put 30 in there. They can barely breathe. And then you got a big bolt, deadbolt, so you can't shoot through them. And now these teachers just, it's a safe space for them. We're just letting them draw in here. This is crazy. You're preconditioning these children to be fearful. It's really, really disgusting. Safe rooms for your All right, it's been a long time.
Now entering second half of show.
Second half of show, it's time. I've been waiting for this. It's finally gotten to a point where I have to talk about what is going on now that the Pentagon is all in on this hoax.
The Pentagon's expert warning about a possible mothership coming close to Earth. It may sound straight out of a movie, but the Pentagon and a Harvard scientist have collaborated on a new draft report questioning if we're alone in the universe and whether we've already seen evidence of life beyond Earth. Here's Gotti Schwartz.
Move over, Chinese spy balloon, or whatever else U.S. fighter jet shot down last month. Tonight, out of Harvard University, a draft paper about mysterious flying objects sounding almost like science fiction.
I think it's very likely that we are not the most intelligent civilization that ever existed.
Renowned Harvard astronomer Avi Loeb, teaming up with the new head of the Pentagon's UFO office, dubbed the All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. Together, they say that interstellar objects detected in space could be signs of extraterrestrial life, and that current sky mapping technology, like the James Webb Space Telescope, could miss such objects.
It could have been a mothership that released some probes in the habitable region around the sun. If we have a visitor to our backyard, we should observe it at first.
Harvard professor, everybody. So this is now on NBC News. I can see Joe Rogan all getting all jacked about it. That's right. The aliens are coming. Finally, 15 years later, I get to talk about Project Bluebeam, because that's what this is. And this is Harvard scientist Robert Duncan to explain it to you.
There's something called like Project Bluebeam.
Yeah, good one.
What is that?
That is,
that's lasers, right?
Yeah, I can actually talk about that one, but that is this is really bad, but you know the people that see orbs in the sky?
Yeah.
Go around that fly faster.
UFOs?
UFOs.
Yeah, there's Navy pilots. There's multiple Navy pilots who talk about
seen them.
They got there, so they were flying F-18s, these Navy pilots, and one of them's coming in here in 2 weeks. He's Ryan Graves.
Okay.
He's a Navy pilot flying off the coast of North Carolina, and they got their radar upgraded on their F-18s, and all of a sudden they were seeing these things darting around on their radar.
Okay. Don't tell him what I'm about to say and see if he knows about it.
Okay.
So what we do is we play with our own forces to make sure our trickery will work on the enemy. And those are directed energy weapons, of where we do intersecting beams or focus beams into the atmosphere. And notice they're always in the atmosphere to excite the electron orbitals of the oxygen and nitrogen in our atmosphere. And it causes a glow and it causes ionization. That ionization shows up on radar and it's like a cat laser pointer, and we're making planes chase them.
That's exactly how they describe these things moving, like laser pointers.
Yeah, and so we can do it in three space. We can make it look like...
in three-dimensional space.
Yeah, and we can make it look like an entire fleet is about to drop bombs on, let's say, Europe, and then just have them disappear. And they get all their planes up in the air, and we attack them from the other direction, assuming we're attacking.
Who is doing this? The Navy, you said?
Somebody. Let's just say a group.
Space Force.
A group, you know.
And you know this for a fact.
I know for a fact, yeah. So anyway, don't tell your guests.
A group within the U.S. government.
Yeah, okay, we'll leave it at that. Yes.
And is this something that could be seen with the naked eye?
Or yes,
is
this something because that glows. It glows. So it would be seeable, even see it by the naked eye, and it would leave a radar trace. So it's perfect as a deception. And it involves the voice of God weapons that I was talking about.
Project Bluebeam does.
And this got leaked. And so it probably won't have the effect, and they probably won't do it. But if you wanted to bring the world together, as President Reagan said in several UN speeches, you would have a common enemy, like evil aliens attacking. We forget our differences when we fight against it.
So we wouldn't look at each other as Chinese or Russian or American. We'd look at each other as earthlings.
As for humans, as earthlings. And so that was Project Bluebeam, was to trick the human race into believing either God is coming down, everybody hears the voice of God, the microwave hearing effect, get along, whatever the new message is, or it was going to be the evil aliens attacking. And notice how they, all of a sudden, all the governments release all their information on UFOs, and there's a whole division dedicated, and that's just deception.
Project Bluebeam. There you go.
So that guy talking?
Yeah.
He's one of those guys who refers to women as females.
Okay.
Everybody will know what I'm talking about. So who was that nutball?
Robert Duncan.
Oh, Duncan's off the deep end.
I thought you were going to call for Theremin. I was ready for that, but no, you didn't call for. Missed opportunity, John. What are you thinking? This is no good. You're slipping.
I forgot all about the Theremin noise.
You're slipping.
I am.
The show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, on No Agenda in the morning.
Brother.
Okay. Finally, second half of show. It's been a long time.
Yeah, you know, I knew about this whole thing coming down and the Lester Holm and the whole thing. I'm thinking, I wonder if the Adams are ever going to pull this one out, because I'm not going.
No, it's my job. This is what what I do.
Too dumb. So Lisa Bernier is at the top of the list. We do have a few people to thank. She's in Clarkston, Michigan. You might want to read her note because she's becoming a damehood. She wrote a very long note for $150, but she is a dame, and we're reading these notes so far.
Well, she says, after almost a decade of small monthly donations, contributing value for value, and hosting many of the local one meetups, she's finally crossed the finish line. She wants to be known as Dame Cicerone of Catland. As Cicerone,
I think I met her.
Oh, a Cicerone is a beer equivalent of sommelier. Huh. The things you learn. A title I haven't used professionally, so I might as well use it here. Saison and pimento cheese. I don't know. Saison and pimento cheese at the round table. Calling out my smoking hot boyfriend Ray as a douchebag. Oops, hold on. I didn't get my Ray douchebag ready.
Douchebag.
He's listened almost as long as I have and has yet to donate. Lastly, she wants the full Respect song and R2-D2 Karma shout out from my fellow nerds such as Sir Slarty Bartfast and Baron Harkonnen. That's quite an ask. I will say I'm going to give you a short one.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
And I will do it at the end of show. And if she wanted an R2-D2, we can give her that at least.
You've got karma.
The next one is similar. It's from Dan Sullivan in Tinley Park, Illinois. And he sent a card, a nice card, by the way, celebrating St. Patrick's Day. He came in 133-33, and he is getting knighted, and so I'll read this from this card. And it's from Dan and Tracy Sullivan. Tracy's involved, even though this is obviously not her handwriting. Gentlemen, Dan here. Thanks for doing the work. Please knight me, sir. Johnny Bananas, which I think is a great knight name.
That's good.
He also wants to give a shout-out to his fellow Southside Irish slaves. Go to your meetups, people, and get your ass to church. 133-33. And we have a third knighting.
Wait a minute. For the round table. Wait. Oh, the third one. You're right. No, you're right. Sorry. Georgiana is next. Yankova. Right. You got it. Go.
Next on the list is Gergana, Yankova in Chesham, UK. And in the morning, the comment, I've now reached the threshold to become a dame, she writes. I would like to be known as Dame Shapska Salad, whatever that means. And for the round table, I'd like some Andy Champagne will do. Bollinger's always a winner.
Bollinger?
Thank you, Gergana.
Bollinger Champagne. I do like Bollinger.
It's a go-to. Yeah. It's not ridiculously overpriced by any means for the quality. Onward with the donations and starting Chris Rold, R-O-A-L-D. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. He's in Norway. $100. Carlos Estrada, Spring, Texas. $100. Lucas Williams in Roswell, New Mexico. Yes, $100. Jan Brugenik in
Brugenik.
In Schmild, 8008.
Boob.
Sir Kevin McLaughlin, our buddy, in Locust, North Carolina, 8008. Continuing the streak. Curtis Cool in East Stroud. I don't know what that says.
Stroudsburg?
East Stroudsburg.
Pennsylvania.
I'm sorry. I'm just cut off. Okay. Pennsylvania. 7752. Got a birthday
for his mom. There was mom who was 71 on the 18th, and his happy 46 year old, he says, and vasectomy free.
But he spelled it with an X. Meaning, referring to a vasectomy or a vaccine?
I don't know. It's a new word. I'm worried about it.
I like it.
Vasectomy. Vasectomy. Let me write that down.
Widler of Wessex in UK, 6969. Matt Lazari in Manchester, New Hampshire, who would like to get some emergency health karma. This is for Ashley.
For his wife, Ashley, and she has a really horrible, she's wheelchair bound, has some syrinx, which is like a spinal column thing. He asked for health karma previously, and it worked, and so he wants some more. We're happy to do that for her, of course.
You've got karma.
Michelle and Stuart Oliver in Hoshton, Georgia, 6666. By the way, Matt was 6969. Doug Andrews in Sykesville, Maryland, 6283. That's a 20X pie donation.
Good one.
Who knew? David Spring in Anna, Texas, 6008. Dame Tara in Urbana, Illinois, 60. Christopher Dechter, parts unknown, 65678. Zachary Maywood, 5555 in Los Angeles. Richard Futter in London, UK, 5510. James Edmondson, South Plainfield, New Jersey, 5510. Troy Funderburk in Spokane, Washington, 55. Kyle Revelli in Bertram, Texas, 5333. Regan Tyson in Toronto, Ontario. Reagan Tyson, 5315. He needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Rick Bunch in La Verkin, Utah, 5150. Bob Butler in Cumming, Georgia, 5069. Baron, Sir Economic Hitman. Hey, I haven't heard from him from Tomball. Texas, 5001. The following people are $50 donors, and we have a bunch of them today. Real Deals Now in San Antonio, Texas.
Real Deals Now
in San Antonio, Texas. Dame Patricia Worthington in Miami. Brendan Savoy, sir, in Port Orchard, Washington. Douglas Mook in Cochranton, Pennsylvania. Kevin Dills in Huntersville, North Carolina. Christian Freeman, San Marcos, Texas. Easy Landscapes in North Stonington, Connecticut. Big Papa Productions in Minneapolis, Minnesota. What does Big Papa do?
But he does productions.
Yeah, productions. Kelly McDill in Mission Hills, Kansas. Philip Ballou in Louisville, Kentucky. Chris Lewinsky. Sir Chris has been with us forever.
Long time.
In Sherwood Park, Alberta. Mike, I used to say where the money is, and that's long been over ever since Trudeau got
toast,
in.
Toast.
Michael Thompson in New Brownfels, Texas, where the barbecues used to be. Tom Gable in Conroe, Texas. James Edmondson in South Plainfield, New Jersey. Josh Adair, parts floating around. Gary Singleton in Boise, Idaho.
Gary actually asked for something I wanted to honor. He said he'd like to request some F cancer for Sarah Lane.
Oh yes,
of Tech TV. I did not know that she had some issues going on there. So we'll do that for her.
You've got karma.
We both know her.
Yeah, and I work with her over the years, and she's a really nice person. She has a huge following of nerds who fell in love with her.
Yep.
And she is a sweetheart.
Yes.
And she's had some health issues before this, and I don't know what this is, but it doesn't sound good.
No.
Cameron Collier in No City Provider. Sarah Gordon, Tucson, Arizona. Jody Zolman in Topeka, Kansas. Regan Gushulik in Twinsburg, Ohio. Chris Areskog in Charlotte, North Carolina. Aaron Lundquist in Sebring, Florida. William Kidwell in Dover, Delaware. William Hefiker in Seehaupt, Deutschland. Harold McCoy in Old Monroe, Missouri. And last on the list of a lot of $50 donors today. Wow.
Yeah.
Want to say it is Michelle and Stuart Oliver in Hoshton, Georgia. Thank you all for this, making this show a very successful one. And hopefully it won't drop off like a rock off a cliff like it did last Sunday. So Congratulations for being part of No Agenda Show 1538.
And again, thanks to our executive and associate executive producers who we thanked earlier with their forever credits. Again, thank you all very much. We have, John, we have a little under 2 weeks for the brand new donation page. We all await anxiously.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Here's your birthday list. Renee Sislo turns 52 today. Congratulations. Dame Susan with her daughter Jessica. Happy birthday. Celebrated on the 12th. Jasmina Haropovich wishes her brother Addy a very happy birthday. And he, of course, is credited in the upper list there with the producers. Tim Wright turns 36 tomorrow. Joanne wishes her son Curtis Koo a happy birthday. 46 tomorrow. And Curtis Cool, I guess it was the same one, wishes his mother Joanne a happy birthday. Turns 71 on March 18th. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe.
It's your birthday.
Yes, this is a title change that we approved and are very happy with. So we have Sir Anonymous, the thrice-knighted Black Knight Viscount of the ADFC and Arapahoe County. Title is accepted, and congratulations with that, sir. We are very happy for you. We've got two knights, three dames on deck, so that's a fiver. We'll take that right there if you got a five.
Go.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'll take that. Jessica, Lisa Bernier, Gergana Yankova, Dan Sullivan, and Sir Procrastinator. Please all join us here on stage. You have all supported the No Agenda Show in the amount of $1,000 or more. I'm therefore very proud to pronounce the KZ as Dame Whatchamacallit, Dame Cicerone of Catland, Dame Shopska Salad, Sir Johnny Bananas, and Sir Procrastinator. For you, we've got Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys, and Chardonnay. By request, Saison and Pimento Cheese, Bollinger Champagne. We got some Rubenesque Women and Rosé, Vodka and Vanilla, Geishas and Sake, Bong Hits and Bourbon, Sparkling Cider and Escorts, Ginger Ale and Gerbils. And of course, we got the Mutton and Mead, which everybody loves. By the next show, I'll be able to tell you where you can go and let us know what size your ring has to be and where to send it to. That will be coming up. But you'll keep that from us. We already mentioned it earlier, but I don't think NoAgendaRings.com is working yet. So stay alert. Bear with us.
We're visible.
It's visible, yes, but I don't know if you can actually put the info in. And thank you very much for supporting your No Agenda show.
No Agenda. Yeah.
Meetups are cranking up again. We got a lot happening today. In fact, you can be at the Tucson, ladies and gentlemen, Start Your Livers pre-St. Patrick's Day meetup. It starts now, actually. Oh, no, in about an hour in Canyon's Crown in Tucson, Arizona. The North Idaho Sanity Brigade third Thursday meetup kicking off at 5 at Selkirk Abbey in Post Falls, Idaho. Also today, Mealworms Are for Chickens, Not Children. The conference, 6:30, Lincoln's Roadhouse, Denver, Colorado today. Charlotte's Thirsty Third Thursday, 7 o'clock tonight, Ed's Tavern, Charlotte, North Carolina, so coming right up. And then tomorrow, Lake Effect Hui Hui, 4 p.m. at Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Geary, Indiana. At the Hard Rock Casino? Is there a Hard Rock in Geary, Indiana? I have to confirm this. Also tomorrow, the Getway to the MO, Corned Beef and Conspiracy, 7 o'clock at Foley's Bar and Grill in St. Louis, Missouri. On Saturday, Let's Get Social, belated St. Patty's Day, 11 in the morning, Chicken Foot, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Flight of the No Agenda, number 38, that is in Point Mugu, somewhere in California, I guess, near L.A. That is tomorrow. Also tomorrow, St. Patty's Grip and Grin, 1 o'clock at Miller's Ale House in Mount Laurel Township, New Jersey. The Goodbye Beetlejuice Cabbage Smash, 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Wow.
What?
It's a cabbage smash.
What is a cabbage smash?
Well, you smash cabbages.
Blue Island Brewery, Blue Island, Illinois. You got to be there. Illinois, man. Star Chamber of Idaho, 3 o'clock on Saturday, El Mariachi Star Idaho. The Deep State University Alumni Meeting from Munich and Upper Bavaria. This is Saturday. It'll be at 6:30 European Standard Time. Unsere Dorfwirtschaft in Schiebshaut, Bavaria, Germany. Hop Chop is your host. And then on the next show day, Sunday, why would you even do that unless you're all listening to us collectively? Local One, suck it, Greta. We're meeting at a gas station, and they'll do that at 2 o'clock at Alex's Gourmet Market in Independence Township, Michigan. Central Ohio meetup also on Sunday, 2 o'clock at Pins Mechanical in Columbus, Ohio. And to round it out on Sunday, celebrating 105 years of time zones and daylight savings, 3 o'clock at Half Liter Barbecue in Indianapolis, Indiana. The Hoosiers are going nuts with the meetups. That's your No Agenda meetups. Remember to send us some reports. We love them if they're tight, and you can do that to adammccurry.com. Thank you so much for supporting the No Agenda meetups. This is where you find your community. It's all producer organized. Enjoy each other because you have one thing in common, your No Agenda show. NoAgendaMeetups.com. Always a party. Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me. Trigger on hell aim. You wanna be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party. All right, how are we on time? Well, perfect. Perfect to get out of here. I got a couple of ISOs. What do you have?
I have three. Why don't you play yours first?
Okay. Yeah. First one.
Whee!
Always a winner. Second one.
I want to ISO this.
Couldn't resist. And
cringe, ew, vomit.
Mm-hmm, not so good. Maybe this one.
Good to know.
That's all I got. I like the weed the best, personally.
Yeah, but it's, yes, yeah. Well, let's go with mine.
Let's see. Well, let's see what you have.
First one is amazing.
Okay.
That is amazing.
Underwhelmed. Next one.
Nicely put.
So nicely put. But thank you for that.
The Tucker classic. I'm actually inclined to go with that one. And the third one?
It's a total Tucker classic. That's why I saved it.
Yeah. What's the third one?
Nice. What are they?
What are they talking about?
No, I think this is what Tucker says to every guest.
So nicely put. But thank you for that.
You could have added so smart. So smart.
Well, no, that was a different one. He never puts smart and nicely put. They're separate.
So smart. And I just got to consider him a shill at this point. I'm disappointed, but what can you do? What can you do? You want to play one more clip or you want to go? I'd say we're a little over time.
I would like to play the Russian, the Canadian election rigging clips, but they're about China and Russia and Canada. I'm sorry, I'm mumbling.
I think you're done. I think we should end.
I think I'm over. But okay. I want to play the Canadian election rigging clips, but I can save it to Sunday. It's about China rigging the Canadian elections, and this sounds like a bunch of bullcrap to me.
Okay, so all that bullcrap and more on Sunday. I mean, who knows what will happen between then and now and then. Anything could go. The whole banking system could collapse overnight. Project Bluebeam could be turned on. We don't know. But we will do our best to explain it to you. And we're looking forward to that. Coming up next on No Agenda Stream, if you're still hanging out in the troll room, we only lost like 250 out of everyone who was there. So, brand new on the stream, the Culture War Radio. So that's something to look forward to. New to the best podcast network in the universe where no one makes any money. And end of show, we've got, of course, we'll do the Sharpton Respect. And we've also got, who do we have? We have, I can't even find him now. We got a couple. I'll put them in the credits. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country in FEMA Region Number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I remain, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday right here with another edition of No Agenda. Until then, keep your powder dry, everybody. Adios, mofos. A hooey hooey. And such.
What is a mix?
John is really out of sorts today. He feels that the end of show mixers are no good. They suck. It's not anything the way it's supposed to be.
You get what you pay for.
Now that short little jingle is better than all of the after show.
You just hate everything. Everything. You hate it all. It's horrible.
Let me teach you what is a mix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a mix.
He's a buzzkill.
A mix.
A mix?
You suck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why are you such a buzzkill?
There's not one mix.
It's a mix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mix it up.
Mix.
real buzzkill.
Mix, baby. The end of show mixers are no good. They suck.
This is bull crap. Not one mix in the entire collection.
John at Dvorak.org if you agree with him.
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Now beat it, buzzkill.
He's getting lunch at Chick-fil-A. The Tortoise in the race. Kim Kardashian, Sigourney Weaver,
Rush, R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
They're all jitty.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
There's no real conflict.
Resist.
We much.
Resist.
Just a little bit.
We much.
Just a little bit.
We must.
Just a little bit.
And we will much.
Just a little bit.
About.
Just a little bit.
That.
Just a little bit.
Be committed.
Develop some land and let the shantytowns crop up. Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's why we have to give them some land. Create a shantytown. Usually outside the airport's a good place. Nobody ever wants to be in the, you know, where the airport is. Surround the airport with shantytowns.
Shantytowns.
Let them build their own thing. A lot of them are architects. Unemployed architects. Shantytown. Shantytown.
Xi Jinping, the face I can't forget, the face of heartbreak and regret, declares my sentence and the penance I must pay. Xi Jinping, the song that summer sings will be the death that winter brings. We'll kill 100 different things within the measure of a day. Xi Jinping, the servant of the beast, will give me famine while he feasts. Will turn my every day from heaven into hell. Xi Jinping, the specter of my dreams, a smile reflecting on my screams. He may not be what he may seem inside his shell. She who's always happy guessing crowds, whose eyes can be so haughty and so proud, no one has ever seen them cry. Xi Jinping, the glory cannot last, will fade like tyrants of the past. This I will hope for till the day I die. Xi Jinping, the reason I survive, by his leave I am alive. And yet I'll curse him through the dark and ugly years. She turned all my laughter into tears and made my pain his souvenir. All I do, he'll always see. The meaning of my life is she.
Dvorak.org/NA.
So nicely put. I thank you for that.